This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. If you like paper cards, that's the place to get them. If you don't, try MTGO Academy for all your digital needs.
No. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you dirty little bastards? I'm Kevin Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
And you're listening to Heavy Meta for some reason. I'm not sure why, but you're doing it, so you might as well keep doing it. Woo!
I got my woo in this time. Unbeknownst to all you motherfuckers out there that don't know, tonight is a special night. I'm pulling one of the Marcel's hat here. This is a very special episode of Heavy Meta.
I pulled one out from under my bed.
Well, as long as you didn't pull one out of your pants, that's all that matters to me. This is a very special Heavy Meta, and I know some of you already know why, because you follow Twitter and you're good fans and others don't. But the last time this man was on this show, my mic wasn't working, which was bad. But it works tonight. That's why it's special. But it is even more special because he was the man on the midget episode, David Gumby.
The midget episode that is.
I mean, it is the
into the midget midget chucking past.
Yeah. Welcome, David.
Well, hello. I'm here to tower over all of you and probably get more emails sent.
Well, we will talk about emails in the third segment of the cast tonight.
Sure, we got segments.
As per the docket. Oh, yeah.
We don't actually have segments. We just call them that.
What are you talking about? We had Heavy Meta Corporate hired a German accountant, and he has sent us this retarded, like, 16-page sheet. We have segments. It's by the minute broken down. I've stopped
watching. What's awesome is they hired a German accountant to run our podcast, because a German accountant...
My assistant didn't get faxed the outline, so I can't guarantee that I will state these guidelines.
Well, you're going to need an assistant because we're going to start off the show because I know I'm a huge proponent, and I know Kevy is too. Anyone, you know, really making the effort to start up anything in Magic to me is just A+ in my books. And big news, man, Maelstrom Games, your own game store you're starting up, that's fucking insane.
Yeah, it should be fucking cool. You know, getting everything in line right now, lining up the location, getting the loan next week. Already got everything up and ready to go. So distributors are all lined up. So as soon as the money gets handed over from the bank, as soon as I trick those fuckers, really all that's going to happen is I'm going to go and I'm going to buy $10,000 of magic at distributor prices, and then I'm just going to... you know, run off to Canada, hopefully find sanctuary with you.
Oh, yeah.
And live the good life.
Hey man, magic cards are like cash up here.
Yeah, you guys will have one hell of a cube to play on the weekends where you're living in Maddie's fucking shed.
Hey man, Proxy Guy has been helping me build my cube for years now. It seems like things fucking looking amazing. But that's awesome news, dude. So Maelstrom Games, like, I love it, man. Keep us abreast. Like, keep the whole community abreast of what's going down, and love to hear more. Like, this sounds amazing.
I breasts for everybody.
Breasts.
Everybody.
I will say this.
I got to, like, and I don't want to get too far off this yet. What, David, like, prompted you to do this? Like,
yeah,
is it something you've been wanting to do for a while?
You've been hanging around Kevin drinking too much one night. You're like, we should start a fucking store.
That's not normally how me and Kevy drinking ends up. Normally, Kevy and I drinking ends up with us playing some weird PlayStation game, drawing dicks on each other's faces on the screen. So this actually happened completely sober.
I said, and without me.
And without Kevy, because he doesn't ever come to tournaments. a big group of us, and for big, you know, our tiny ass town, that's 10 people, went to States here in California, and it was this pretty cool store. It's called Mon Store. It's in Montclair, And, like, they had a nice setup, albeit it was a little cramped because they were trying to shove, like, I don't know how many hundred people in their store. But, you know, it was well set up and well done. And, you know, we were outside talking, like, God damn it, our store fucking sucks. And, you know, I was like, I should open one. And then it was just, it snowballed from there, and it actually turned into me writing up a business plan and so on and so forth. And it's going to happen. So that's basically how it came about.
Nice, dude.
As I drink some more Dr. Kraken over here.
No,
Real quick before I fucking forget to interrupt the story, but you brought up Kraken. Just so you people know, I gotta throw this out there.
Oh, yes, fucking throw it out.
The, you know, our Kraken mat, or play mat contest, you know, has ended. We talked all about that, who won. And so basically, everything is up on Inked Play Mats now. It went live yesterday, I believe it was. But then the guys over at Inked are fucking awesome. And so what they're doing, you know, you, until the 14th, all of the playmats are available. If you click on, you know, their blog entry thing, or if you just go to the heavy meta page of Inked Playmats, it'll take you to it. All of the entries are available. And then on top of it, so you're going to have all of them available until the 14th. Until the 7th, they also threw in, if you put in the code KrakenRum, all one word, for a discount code, you get 15% off.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
So. But they hooked it up. They're giving the top three winners, their playmat that they made for free. And then yeah, they're running a sale till the 7th, which is what, Monday, I believe, Sunday or Monday. So if you get in quick, you can get them cheaper. And then you have another week after that to get all of the playmats. And then after that, the top three winners and our community winner, Ginger Talion, are going to be on our site, you know, permanently till the end of time. So get over there, because by the time this airs on Friday, you've got like 2-3 days tops to get the discount, the Kraken Rum discount on it. So
yep.
Do that shit. And thank you again to everybody that fucking was involved in that. You guys made some awesome designs, and I get paid tomorrow, and I'm not going to have very much money left over when I buy all the, I mean, I'm doing it the smart way. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to save the ones that are going to stay on the site, and I'm going to have to buy those later, like the three winners. Or the four winners are staying on our site, but like, I mean, fuck.
I know you got to get Rafael's, right?
I've got a lot of playmats to buy in a short period of time, so I'm gonna go broke. Oh, and what they did, I don't know how many of you on Twitter saw Proxy Guy throw up that it's just a blank white. It's like the Storm Shadow Heavy Meta playmat. It's got the Heavy Meta logo in the middle. It's white Heavy Meta logo in silver, and it says Heavy Meta World Tour, and then it's got the GP Portland and the dates. They threw that up for, in the gallery that'll be up until the 14th. So all of you that are going to Portland and want to have something to have all of the motherfuckers in the SVU that are going to be there at this ridiculous fucking event sign, you guys might want to snatch that up too, because it's on there in the gallery. So.
And this is just fucking heavy metal. This whole episode is just we promote our merchandise. So if I don't know why it's turning out like this, but it is. But I have to off top guess. Proxy Guy, I just fucking pulled the trigger because I'm too busy, and I'm tired of letting you guys down. And I'm like, Proxy, that rules T-shirt, I want it for fucking Portland. And he just knocked it out of the fucking park. So the Universe Rules T-shirt is up. Teespring.com, Universal Rules. I'm going to order it in every color because I want a purple and an orange one. And fuck it, I'm just going to get them all.
I looked at him and I was just like, yeah. When he tweeted, there's like four colors. It's like orange, blue, purple, and other purple. And I was just all, oh, fuck. I was like, dude, I was going to tweet him and be like, all, you've got to give me something that I can work with. Like, I can't do this. And then, but then I saw in the thread that apparently the picture that he posted, there was like a mistake made when it, like with the coloring, like there's one color purple and then black. So you can actually get like a normal color if you want to, like there black, you know, white. It's there. Like you can order it in black. It came up weird on the picture. And
I think purple and orange would look sick on this. But anyways.
I can't wear fucking blue shirts or orange shirts. It's either got to be red or black or maybe white for me for the most part. So.
Well, I'll make it up to you on the next thing. But Well,
that's the thing is they are available in black, yeah. So I can't buy one.
Okay, well, there you go. Anyways, they're awesome. Come to Portland, get your shirt. I'm gonna wear it and see if I get kicked out of the GP. So, that's my fucking plan. So, That's out of the way, folks. Now let's talk Magic, because we have got a jam-packed show, and I think I'm going to jump right into it. I got to talk today with Spoiled, a card that I think is – I don't think they did a good job. I think they fucked up. I think this card is broken, and I think they pushed it. It's the Chain Veil. New card in M15. Okay, so check this out. I still think there's miscommunication. We've got Joe the judge. We've got a lot of judges looking at this, and they're all telling me conflicting information, so I guess we'll wait to hear what the official rules are on the card, but here's what it does. It's a four casting cost artifact, legendary artifact. So you're like, Matt, who gives a shit? It's garbage. I'm like, hold on. It gets better. At the beginning of your end step, if you didn't activate a loyalty ability of a planeswalker this turn, you lose 2 life. Now you're like, Matt, this is horrible. Why would I pay 4 life for this if I don't have a planeswalker? I'm like, hold on. It gets better. For 4 mana and you tap it. For each planeswalker you control, you may activate one of its loyalty abilities once this turn as though none of its loyalty abilities have been activated this turn. Now, that's a whole cockamamie shit, and it's probably hard to get off. But if you got a Johnny out, you got Jace out, you got Rel Zeric out. I don't know. There's a lot of abilities here, especially with a Johnny, that make this able to ultimate a planeswalker that turn. So that's insane. Yeah. That's just bonkers. So
you know that's magical Christmas land, though, right?
Of course. And that's what I tweeted, right? Like, I tweeted it and said, hey, this could be bullshit. But then again, wow. Like, that's pretty crazy. Like, has anyone ever been able to ultimate a planeswalker the turn you drop it? No. So this has potential. This feels to me like cheating Eldrazi out. You know, like, there's got to be a way. Now, of course, Jace and Ajani have horrible ultimates, so I don't think that's what you're doing. But Nissa with ramp? I'm liking this. This sounds tasty to me. So, I don't know. This card sounds awesome. What do you guys think?
I think this is a Johnny card. Like, you know, this is one of those ones that you look at and it's powerful. What it does is obviously powerful, but, you know, it's in a format with, you know, Hero's Downfall, Faded Retribution. What's that new one from M15? Garrick's whatever destroys all the planeswalkers.
Garrick's Wake. Control.
Yeah. Garrick's Wake. Like it's in a format that's all full of hate for planeswalkers, plus, you know, planeswalkers can still get attacked and killed and burned out and so on and so forth, and then you just paid 4 mana to get shocked every turn.
Right? Yeah, and I guess that's the thing. It's got a huge downside if, you know, you don't play it right.
Does it have implications in any in other format besides modern? Like, I definitely get that. Like, in
modern?
Standard, it might not be great, but like in modern, like, what do you play this thing with Tezzeret? Like,
oh yeah. Well, here's the other thing. You guys Tezzeret already
taps artifacts, lets you dig for artifacts, and then, like, you know, you do some sort of weird super friends fucking thing. I don't know. That's kind of what I thought.
Daniel, oh, Grixis super friends with that sounds insane. Yeah.
Daniel fucking, you know, David, you know Daniel, and he's all about his super friends deck, and I showed this to him, and he's all, lost his shit. But it's because we'd sit around and play at the table, you know.
Here's something that someone said on Twitter, okay? It says for each planeswalker you control, you may activate one of its loyalty abilities once this turn. Mm-hmm. Can you activate this on your opponent's turn?
I don't see why not.
They're saying yes, but I don't think you can because
I don't think
even
you can,
though the
planeswalker
veil, yeah.
abilities oh, yeah, only that, happen yeah, that, at sorcery speed.
Right. So even though the veil is saying you can, the planeswalker ability overwrites
yeah,
and says
the planeswalker will let you. I get you. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think you this doesn't say you can activate it at instant speed. Basically, it just lets you activate their abilities twice during whatever main phase you decide to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Anyways, I just thought it was a hell of a chainsmithic. I think it's pretty fucking neat. Like, I'm excited.
I like where they're going with it too. Like, this might not be the card that I mean, it's a good card in a sense, but at the same time, I don't know.
It's probably like that Quicksilver Amulet. Remember that thing? 4 mana costing fucking artifact that when you I think you had to pay 4, right? Yeah, pay 4, tap
it. It was
drop.
The artifact Elvish Piper.
Yeah, exactly. You had to drop a creature. So it sounds like the same thing, but what's interesting is with ramp and maybe even with this new what is it? The research dude or chief engineer? Artifact spells you cast have Convoke.
Convoke, right? Yeah.
Maybe they're. I don't know. They're just. it feels like it's on the border, man. Especially with Kimball. Well,
that's what I'm getting at. Is it, like, this might be the card, or it might not be the card that really does it. This could actually, like, it opens up like new space that we haven't been to before. Yeah. You know, specifically like with, you know, messing with planeswalkers other than just like destroy target planeswalker in whatever the way it's worded. Like it opens up some shit with planeswalkers that we haven't really seen before. And, you know, maybe there is, you know, somebody's going to figure out a way to fucking work this with another card, like get some crazy artifact fucking planeswalker deck going. But at the same time, regardless, it just kind of shows us where they're going. They're willing to, like you said, they're kind of pushing it. And now, you know, maybe the next set or two, we get, you know, we're starting to see more and more shit with the word planeswalker, you know, cards with the word planeswalker printed on them that aren't planeswalkers. And they're starting to push the rules a little bit more. Now it's not just about let's kill planeswalkers. It's, you know, they're actually interacting with planeswalkers other than that, which, I mean, who knows? A couple of sets down the road, there's going to be a planeswalker clone card and fucking shit like that. I don't know.
I agree with that sentiment, but like this card, this feels like one of those, you know, everybody gets excited for it and then it just doesn't actually do much. Like I think it's right. More of a casual card.
Like Elvrus, I don't think the Binding Blade.
Yeah, people went nutty over that card, and it's just that doesn't even see play in fucking
it doesn't do
Commander.
Anything.
And, yeah, people stare at it and go, "Why was this worth anything?" But I don't think that will be the case for this card because it deals with planeswalkers, which is like universally one of the most favorite card types ever. But I don't think it'll do anything in Constructed. I think, you know, if, for one, it's at the four spot, which like right now, like that's the premier spot. Like that's when you want to be dropping either your gods or, you know,
or your
big
planeswalker
spells. This is a do nothing on the turn that you cast it, like regardless of what you're doing, because it costs four mana to activate. So even if you're like living the fucking dream and you go, okay, turn four or five, Nissa, untap, which, by the way, Nissa will be abused for about 3 months and then she will get back under control because the shocklands will rotate out and then you can only untap forests. So she's only going to be abused in mono green. So like Nissa's cool for 3 months and then she's
Then she's meh.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, like you can still throw like a Darksteel fucking Citadel out there and make it a 4/4 indestructible. So I think she'll see play. I think she'll make mono green or green splash something a viable archetype, but she's not going to be as powerful as she is in those first 3 months where you can play in like a three color deck and every land you play is still a forest, you know, because everyone's like, oh shit, turn four Nissa, plus one, untap four forests, and then cast Kiora or Xenagos, which is viable if, you know, you're running all four of the Stomping Grounds and Breeding Pools and whatnot. And, you know, that's a pretty sick curve, but that's only for 3 months. And then that rotates out.
Yeah, but those three months are so good, though, when we get both.
Don't get me wrong. I'm salivating. I'm like, what color combination do I want to build my planeswalker deck? But what I'm leading out to is I'm doing that, too, and I wouldn't throw this Chained Veil or whatever in that planeswalker deck.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to have – I almost envision it's what is that other – it's got to be blue-green with that veil, and you can have – you know, you get to abuse Kiora's follower, the untapped dude.
Well, like, I mean,
you have
about
shenanigans
it.
There.
It's four cost. What are four cost in those planeswalker decks? Xenagos, Kiora, Ralzeric. Yep. Like those are. That's the four drops you want to be hitting, not this do nothing artifact.
Yeah, but you can also play ramp, right? So you got you know Sylvan Caryatid. I mean, you got a lot of ramp. Maybe there's a green Nykthos deck. I think in all honesty with Nissa, I think the first thing I want to try is mono green just ramp with Nykthos. And just try to get her off as fast as I can.
That's what I always do. Oh yeah, planeswalkers.
Baby, how do I get you off as fast as I can?
Oh, Nissa. You know, I think, like I said, I think it's a do nothing card. It takes the slot of the cards that you want to be using. Like,
good point.
If you have this in your hand, that's one less Kiora or Ralzeric or Xenagos in your hand, or you know, one less, you know, like Supreme Verdict or, you know, a board wipe. Because I mean,
point. That's
living the dream. You know, tap, cast Nissa, untap, cast. You know.
All right. Well, let's talk about the apex of planeswalkers then, because I'm not going to be the one. I was Yeah, I was wrong on him being mono black, but I was dead fucking right on him being a playable card on game day. Called that shit years out, man. But anyways, Garrick Apex Predator, first.
You mean legally playable, right?
Yeah. Hey, man, he's got four abilities. You gotta sit back and you gotta say, hey, when Karn was spoiled, I remember exactly the same argument. He's ridiculous. No one's ever gonna fucking cast this guy. Big deal he does this. Who's gonna ever restart a game? You know how many times I have played against Karn and I'm like, motherfucker, plus one, what am I doing? And you're freaking out because you
plus
don't
one.
Have time.
Plus four.
Well, yeah, like, yeah, well, it's retarded, right? Like, he's too powerful. So, four ability planeswalker, even at seven mana, I get it, man. In a standard fair deck, seven mana is a joke, right? But in a green ramp deck, splashing black.
Nissa. Fucking Nissa. You know, that's he's the only reason I'm thinking about black being in a Super Friends deck. Because if you can go Nissa into untap, cast fucking Garrick, that's all she wrote. But
yeah.
You know,
Yeah, but like, could you imagine, like, you got Vraska, you could play Vraska, you could play a Jund Colors and have Domri? I mean, it just sounds like, whew.
Domri's not good in a Planeswalker deck. He's good in a creature deck. You could play Zenagos. That's a good reason to play
Zenagos red as well.
Like the Bizarro
Zenagos,
Zenagos. Super Friends. Like Jund Color Super Friends.
Jund,
is like
Jund Super Friends is one that I'm thinking. To me, it's either Jund or it's Rug. Like, you want that green-red, you know, but then blue, you get access to Kiora. You could have access to Ralzeric. I don't think he's worth it. You know.
I don't really like Kiora in that deck. Yeah, I like green. Like, green-black is already powerful, right? Like, people are playing green-black anyways. So, to me, he's interesting. Now, anyways, besides of what deck Garrick goes in, what do we think? My opinion is 7-mana, yeah, it's expensive. No doubt that that is not expensive. I get it.
I honestly think that that was because they wanted to get nuts and I think they somewhat learned their lesson from, you know, Jace, like, hey, four ability planeswalkers are a little bit out of hand. So I think they had to put that price tag on him to justify four fucking abilities. But I mean, they're good abilities. I mean, he's a good planeswalker, but I mean, it's,
you know,
I don't know.
You know what's funny? When Elspeth was spoiled, right, and we said 6-mana, this is fucking ridiculous, because we all wanted a 4-mana planeswalker, it really, to me, and we were all wrong, except for Ferret, he was right, but, you know, she was really good. And then it kind of opened my eyes to, like, understanding, hey, maybe the way the metagame has shifted over the last couple of years, we really can play 6 and 7 mana costing spells. Like, there are games that aren't against Boss Sly and Mono Red that do go those turns. And so now it kind of feels like maybe my eyes are open to more development now, but it does, this card, I just, something about it just feels like it's just too much versatility. There's just too many things that could be done with this on your turn. Mm. It just sounds like one of those cards that, you know, you slam this and bam, it's getting you out of a situation. Boom, I just killed your Jace Architect of Thought, or, you know, or bam, I'm putting Beast down or I'm destroying a creature. Like, wow, it's like every option you could almost want. And by the time you get to 7 mana, you're probably going to have Sylvan Caryatids out. You may have Demons. You may have Heroes Downfalls in your hand. Like, you're going to have answers.
Right. Well, and I mean,
and you're going to build a board. Like,
what do you realistically, like, I mean, you know, you're not going to play this in a deck. I don't think you're going to play this in a deck, even in standard, where you have to wait till turn 7 to cast this. But, like, realistically, how.
No, you ramp
fast
it for sure.
Think you can, yeah, when you ramp it, how fast
with turn 5
is available in standard? You think you can get out on 5?
Easy. In a predominantly green ramp deck, you're getting this.
You have Elvish Mystic, Sylvan Caryatid. Like, it's reasonable to assume that you can cast this at least one turn early, given a game, you know, but I think in reality it's not so much the cost of the planeswalker, it's the abilities that are attached to that planeswalker. Like Garrick, the last Garrick, he's a 6-cost Garrick. Yes, he sees fringe play in mono green, but that's because they can, like, get absurd amounts of mana, and then he does one thing that really matters, which
draw
is cards. Fill your hand back up, you know. Without Nykthos and those mana abilities, he would never see play. He's a 6-mana do nothing. Now Garrick, he's a 7-mana, but he defends himself. He does a lot of, he's removal. You know, he makes creatures. He's got versatile abilities, which is what makes Elspeth at 6 so good. She's offensive and defensive. You know, she gives these these decks that runner, which the deck that I took to SCG Vegas had three Elspeth, simply because everything she does is amazing. Plus right. one, she's defensive or offensive. You're making creatures that can chump block or attack. Minus three, she's killing all relevant creatures on the board at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and then her ultimate is just game over. It's just like Domri's. Like, even if you don't have any creatures on the board, every creature that you play after that is absurd.
And so, can't you say the same thing about Garruk, right? Target opponent gets an emblem. Whenever a creature attacks, it gets 5/5, like, and trample. Like, to me, Garruk's ultimate and Domri's feel very close.
I'm agreeing. What I'm saying is that his all of his powers, all of his abilities, whatever you want to call them, his loyalty abilities are relevant. Like, they do something. They affect the game, and they're versatile. They're not, like, all one-sided. That, to me, is what makes a Planeswalker very good. Like, the new Jace. I think that the new Jace is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I don't think that he's – I think that they nerfed him, you know, because Jace has always just been the best Planeswalker every time. I think he's one of the worst this time. I think Chandra's good. I think they hit the mark on that one. It's playable, but it's not, like, amazing. I think Ajani will see play, but I don't think
I think he's interesting. He's ability. A build around me deck, right?
He is. And, you know, he has the pseudo ability to defend himself because he gives a creature vigilance and lifelink and so on and so forth. But you have to have a creature out. So that kind of – he's kind of like a mixed bag. If you play him on an open board with one creature out plus one and they kill it, then they're just going to be able to take out your Ajani and essentially, you know, two for one you. You know, then there's Nissa. She's got the pseudo ability if, like, you cast her on six and make your land a creature. But then, you know, once again, you're getting into that realm where there's a lot of build around for.
Me. She is a build around me. Yeah, she's totally build around me to get that ultimate off. But to me, I don't know, something about Garruk. Maybe it's just, you know, another four mana planeswalker that's getting me fucking excited
I
for the big man here
at the standard. I think he's playing standard. I don't think he sees play out of that. Him and Karn aren't really comparable because, you know, with Karn, he's no colored mana. You can put him in anything. So the only reason he sees play in other formats is if you can, like, cheat him in with Tron or you know, so on and so forth. With Garruk, that's not going to happen. He's two colors. So I think he sees play in standard and he sees play in, obviously, you know, Commander, Kitchen Table stuff. So he'll maintain a relevant price tag, but I think he's not constructed worthy outside of standard. But standard wise, I mean, he's good enough. His abilities are all relevant.
Well, let's talk quickly about the new Jace for a second, because when he was spoiled, I misread the plus one, which I thought said, look at the top two cards of your library, draw one, put one into your graveyard. But it doesn't. So that's
You don't draw one. You just
I know, right? And but you know what though? If that had been the plus one, I feel he would have been fine. Like then you have
he would have been okay because then at the worst he's soaking up some damage and then replacing himself with another card. Mm-hmm. But he's not. You know you look at the top two cards and then you throw one in the graveyard. Like
horrible.
If you're doing some
you're not even drawing
animator
a fucking
deck,
card.
Which it's terrible. Yeah. And then, you know, the minus three, you return a non-land permanent to its owner's hand. Like, that ability was relevant on the Mind Sculptor because it was a minus one and it was a way to defend himself. But on this one,
three is absurd. If it had been plus one, plus one, it would have been better.
Because one, that would have been broken. Like, one bouncing a non-land permanent? Yeah, that would be so broken.
But then you're paying four mana to just do that. It just feels
you're
maybe,
playing
I don't
four
know.
Mana and ticking up your Jace, like it's netting you value. Like if you put on a Planeswalker plus one unsummoned, like that shit would be amazing. You know that's why it's minus one on the Mind Sculptor. Like this would be more playable if it was a minus one ability because he does start with a decent amount of loyalty.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, I think he's.
It would have felt
a little bit better.
Jace the Mind Sculptor light then minus one ability, you know, like
yeah, it would be baby Mind Sculptor.
You know what I thought it would have been really neat is to give him brainstorm, but at minus three. So let you brainstorm once, like give you something really powerful, and then plus one could be a minor effect. But
brainstorm isn't that powerful in standard.
Yeah, but everybody loves to do it. So what, like, drawing cards, dude? Like, I feel like that's what Jay should be doing.
Every time, I agree. The fact that he doesn't draw cards at all is terrible. Like,
I feel like neutered Jace because, like, I don't know, maybe they listen to us when, not us as in us, but like us as in the Magic community, other than just the absolute fucking Jace dick sucking lover. It's just one of those things where it's like, there's never really been a bad Jace. I mean, there have been less than
there is now.
Well, yeah, there's been less than good Jaces that, you know, it's like, oh man, you know, this ain't Mind Sculptor, but, you know, it's still fucking great. If you play blue, this is still a fucking great Planeswalker. There just hasn't been a bad Jace, and maybe it was time for Jace to just get a shit version, you know?
Well,
I mean, shit, Chandra got the shit version for a long time, and then she finally had a decent, somewhat playable version. Hey, maybe they had to just knock Jace down a peg.
Then like, why play?
Well, they obviously had to knock Jace down a peg. Like, Jace the Mind Sculptor was, like, I mean, that's like, you know, fucking dating some goddamn supermodel, and then you walk away from that, and then you gotta date, you know, some fucking midget.
I knew it was coming. I fucking knew it was coming.
It's gonna happen. I had to fit it in there.
Which
is easy, because they're small.
That's right. But different places. You don't know.
But, you know, like, every Jace iteration now has to, like, be compared to the Mind Sculptor, and they're never going to even come close to that mark. But, like, this one is, like, the first one where I've looked at it, I'm like, I would, like, never play this card. I would not play it. Not in casual, just not in constructed. Like,
I was like,
what the fuck? I'm, you know, a big Jace proponent. I like Jace cards, you know. I like drawing cards and doing, you know, stupid slick shit, but you know, this one's terrible. Like, when you look at this one and then you look at Liliana Vest and you're like, I'd rather pull that one. Like, that's bad.
That's
really bad.
She's been around the block like way too many times. It's time to retire.
I know, with dead people. Like, that's just terrible.
It tells you at the bottom of the fucking the bottom of the card, like, where it was spoiled, and it said, like, top decks. I have no idea what that is. Probably some fucking site, you know, some card site.
See, it should say. It How should bad say when it was designed. That was when it was spoiled. Like, bad right from the start.
No, you know what it is.
Because, yeah, how bad does that have to suck if you're the fucking, you're like, oh, are you kidding me? We got a spoiler and it's fucking the Jace? And then
you're the one that created the fucking idiotic Jace with the fucking limp and...
Oh, could you imagine, like, if Mana Deprived got that Jace as their spoiler, KOAT had to write a positive article about it?
That's when we'd finally get a spoiler from
Mana Deprived. Yeah, he'd hand it down to us. Guys, you get your first Planeswalker.
Here you go.
Here's the catch. You gotta be positive about it.
You know what's funny, though, is, like, with the exception of, like, them just totally shitting on Jace, M15 is really, really good.
Isn't it?
I'm so excited for this, and it's a core set.
I know. I'm exactly the same way. We shit so hard down M14's throat that I honestly think someone at Wizards is like, wow, we really made a bad set.
Because
it was so hard. This set, maybe it's garbage. I don't think it is. I think it looks
insane. It's not
it looks so much fun. Like, I'm really excited. Huge points.
There's value in it. There are valuable fucking cards in it. And it's not just like one or two, maybe.
Yeah, like, and it feels like there's new cards. Like,
there's good.
There is new cards. Like, there's viable, like, casual cards, commander cards, legacy cards. Like, you know, Waste Not, that card is fucking ridiculous. Like, let me be the first to say, like, if you want to go in on an investment on a card that's going to have, like, some long-term implications, Waste Not is where it's at. Like, just, like, Legacy, the stupid shit that you can do with that card, like, Mono Black, you're like, turn one, fucking Dark Ritual, Waste Not, Thought Sees You, discard this, Oath of Land, two more mana, fucking Hymn to Turok. Like, holy shit. Like, I mean, turn one, fucking Dark Ritual into Liliana the Veil, turn two, Waste Not, plus one, like, just, it's so dirty.
Yeah, and it's only, a dollar? It's pre-selling for, like, $1 now or something retarded?
It's stupid. No, I think it's more than that.
Is it? Okay, I haven't checked SCG in a while, but...
If the Magic community as a whole needs to pull its head out of its ass. Like, that card is broken.
Hey, you know what? Crucible of Words, man. It was a community design card, and it's awesome. So... I think Waste Not's a home run, dude. I like it a lot. I think it's wicked.
It's very, very powerful.
Going in my cube. Yeah, for sure.
It's yeah, it's going in a lot of my things.
Now here,
certain orifices. What?
Orifici.
I want to talk.
Orifici?
Orifices?
That sounds like a magic card.
It does. We should make that right now. You know what I want?
Orifici. All right, Booze Cube, if you're listening, that needs to be a card.
Orifici.
The Oracle of Orifici.
Yeah. It's a giant sliver that has five asses. Yeah, that's what we
have. Make it so.
Make it so. Make it happen. Okay, so here's a – I want to talk next about the card Marrow Spoiled. It's the Red Sorcery, Act on Impulse. I think this card is insane, and I don't know if Kevy would ever play this.
I don't know. It's
counterintuitive at three mana for what you're doing, but
I'm not saying it's bad.
This thing is in my cube.
Like fucking at instant speed, this thing would be fucking nuts.
Yeah. Okay. But, let me read it so everyone knows. So Act on Impulse, two in a red, sorcery. Exile the top three cards of your library until end of turn. You may play cards exiled this way. So it's basically card draw in red. The bad thing is, when the fuck do you have the mana?
It's not card draw. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
It's like Chandra.
You'll never cast this on turn like three or before. Like turn four, it's probably not that bad unless you're desperate to hit a land drop, and then it's like a bad red rampant growth.
Well, you know where this card's scary? Fucking Storm. Ugh, it's just so scary in Storm. It's just essentially
this is one of those cards that won't see play that much in Standard, but will see more play in Eternal formats.
Right.
I just think like cube.
See, and this, like, you know, I looked at this and I was thinking about it like either one of my fucking burn decks, like I was looking at it as like, I mean, this actually could be fucking serious, but and I forget what the other card I was just looking at recently, like I kind of got the same thought. It's one of those things that could be good except, or I keep running into these situations, you know, like every burn player does, especially now that I'm playing mono red a lot instead of the red white black burn. Where I have card draw and shit, you know, I find myself in those situations where I've got fucking 5-6 land and I'm out of gas and I've got to get through that last bit of damage. And I mean, this is the perfect card. Like, I would love to fucking top deck this card while I'm sitting on fucking five mountains and nothing in my hand. Problem is you don't want to build, you don't want to put cards in your deck for that weird corner case scenario when you're at the end of your game. You want to put cards in your deck to fucking kill your opponent as fast as possible. And so this isn't something that I want to waste sideboard slots on, or, you know, definitely not mainboard slots on, so that when I run out of gas, I can fucking hopefully top deck this card and then go dig for those burn spells, you know, and hope it's not three mountains.
Yeah, this card in burn makes zero sense. I'm just saying, like, in anything that's going off, like anything that's going to go off that turn, generating mana, this card like is just draw three cards, which is just bonkers, man. Mm-hmm. Like, so in Storm, this card feels like it's going to just make
Storm. This card is amazing, but only in Storm that has like zero cost spells. Like this card might see play in like modern form, like Jataxian Probe, but Legacy, like Ant and stuff like that, where, you know, Jataxian Probe into.
Whoa, did we lose David?
Oh, Skype is turning Roboto on us.
No, I think I walked too far away to go and refill my Dr. Kraken.
You are not allowed.
What?
You're not allowed. You gotta mute that mic. You gotta put a text message in chat and say, guys.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Where did I break out?
Where did I cut out?
We were talking about Act on Impulse.
Oh, wow. That far back? Wow.
No. You were just talking about Ant.
Okay. I was saying like in Legacy Storm, this card could be bonkers. You know, you go turn three or four, cast this, go into Lotus Petal, Jataxian Probe, you know, play a land, or turn four, into, you know, whatever. But in Modern, like, the only free spell that you can get off this is Jataxian Probe, unless I'm forgetting something. But, you know, like I said, this is only going to see play in Constructed to me in, like, Legacy. and even then it may be only a one or a two of. This is kind of one of those deceptive cards. It does a powerful thing, but it's really, really, really like,
yeah,
you know,
gotta
angle.
You gotta play with it, yeah. The other card,
I do like the art on it. I didn't expect to like the art on it, but the more I looked at it, the art is fucking beautiful.
In foil, that is gonna be pretty beautiful. Now let's talk about Sliver Hive Lord, man. Whew. I think they kind of nerfed him a bit, but yeah, he's basically one of every color. He's like the other Sliver Lord, but he has a shitty ability.
Like the other Sliver whores. Like,
yeah, it's just like, yeah, Sliver creatures you control have indestructible. 5/5. Eh, pretty vanilla. That doesn't feel like a mythic Sliver Hive Lord to me. I wish he made slivers. You know? Two mana?
I think
make
that
sliver?
Slivers are the devil. I hate slivers.
I don't like them either, but you know what? They have this bizarre draw about them that whenever a new one gets spoiled, you're like, I wonder. Because the utility toolbox.
It's because what they used to be, like, they're
yeah,
like.
It's got good art. You can't say this doesn't have wicked art.
Hey, I didn't say it doesn't have wicked art, but what I'm saying, like, that draw to fucking slivers is like what slivers used to be. Like, you keep really wanting to try. It's like Guns N' Roses. Like, because of what Guns N' Roses used to be, every time Axl Rose releases a new album called Guns N' Roses, you're like, maybe this is it. And then you're like, oh, never mind. They got Buckethead playing guitar. Nah, this isn't Guns N' Roses. Like, it's their former glory. Like, Sliver's former glory. All Watsy has to do is print Sliver on a card, and people are gonna jump and go, oh, wait, what? Oh, it's a Sliver, it's a mythic, alright. Well,
maybe it's just me, but when I see Sliver cards, the first thing that pops into my head is, like, I wonder what color it is when it burns. Like, I hate Sliver so bad. They're so dumb. Like,
see, now you understand why I'm so happy that fucking David and I live in the same town and we can actually hang out.
You love fire. You're a fire lover.
Yeah, fire and burning fucking slivers. I love it. Slivers. Like, the only card that has the word sliver in it that is okay is that stupid land that says sliver on it. And that's, once again, only for 3 months while Mutavault is still legal.
Right.
You know, because you can fucking activate a Mutavault and, you know, you have to have, like, some nutty control deck. But I think, like, with Nissa and Darksteel Citadel and some of these other cards, like, some weird-ass Planeswalker control deck with a bunch of lands is actually, like, a viable strategy in Standard right now. Because if you go Nissa, activate, turn one, like, you know, plus one Darksteel Citadels and 4/4 indestructible creature, you know, and then what's that fucking mythic artifact that exiles all non-land permanents?
Perilous Vault, which is
do that. Exile fucking everything, and then you got a 4/4 indestructible land on top of whatever many Mutavaults you have in play, and sliver land to create stupid creatures after
that's
that.
That's actually, like, pretty sweet, dude.
See, and this is why I like having fucking David on.
Like, that's a good idea.
Magic far beyond what we do.
Oh,
and I realize, like, we have to, like,
we have to up our game, man.
We both have separate teams that we have to play the M15 fucking team sealed in Portland, and, like, neither one of us knows really all that much about M sets or Magic in general.
Shut the fuck up, man. I am leaps and bounds above you in that area, though.
I know. I know. I just like to drag you down with me. So what? Do you see? I mean, we don't have the entire set spoiled, but we got the majority of it. Like, do you see any archetypes in M15 starting to kind of come about, David?
Oh shit! Yeah. I see tons.
We need all the fucking help we can get when we go to.
There's quite a bit. I mean, I think this set more than anything, like, is it really, especially in, like, Team Sealed, that type of thing, really is just dependent on what you draw. There's so many good uncommons and stuff that kind of push you into certain color combinations. I mean, they've done, what, like, two or three different uncommons that, you know, kind of like the, was it M13 that did the
cycle,
you know,
yep.
Yeah, get that cycle of they get plus one, plus one.
Complementary colors, yep.
Yeah, and did that again with this, which I think is really good. I mean, what was it, Flinthoof Boar? That one was actually strong enough to see play in Modern. So I think they did a good job with this set. I like that they spread out the mana curve. They're not all two and three drops. You know, you got five drops and four drops, and they have really relevant abilities tacked onto them. So I think that this set is actually really well balanced from what I'm seeing. I think that, you know, blue and red has some pretty broken cards. as far as the common and uncommon realm?
Rephrase my question. Is mono red a viable archetype, or should I just drop when I register my pool?
Hey, there is a modern there is an actual goblin, a red goblin theme, but yeah. I don't know if it's just red. I think you're gonna want to mix it with green, maybe.
Yeah, they flirted with like too many like things for it to be like really viable to go that route. Like they got a couple goblins, they have a couple slivers. Like they're really just like adding stuff. From what I can tell from the way that M15 looks is, and what they're doing with other sealed sets and things like that, is they're spreading the love and throwing other cards into, you know, some of the Eternal formats and trying to spice things up. You know, they threw in Court of Calling and,
Which we have to talk about, sweet ass card. Yeah, let's talk about Court of Calling because
before we get off his point, that's one thing that I think, you know, people were asking, like, you know, somebody was tweeting today. They're like, can somebody tell me why M15 is like good and people like it? Cause I don't see it. And that's always been my theory on M sets. And I think, you know, the reason is because of that. You know, it's spread across, you know, you don't have a real strong theme. Like, you know, there's not just a ton of red goblins or anything like that. It's not meant to have that, you know, tribal theme or have that those archetypes built in. The M sets are usually pretty spread out and spread across. And I think that's what turns me off of them. It's like, here's a big pile of magic cards. Some of them are good. Most of them aren't, and that's it. And that's why I don't like M. And the reason I like this one is, although it is, like you said, it's spread out. They kind of spread the love. You know, there are cards for eternal formats. There are cards for fucking, you know, casual formats. There are decent cards for standard. But what they did is up their game in M15, and there are a lot more good cards across the board. Now, maybe in the limited format, it might not be like all up. Oh, sweet. Here's a clear cut. Like, you know, here's a goblins deck. Here's a fucking zombies deck. Whatever. The archetypes might take a minute to flush out and see what actually, you know, what you can do, what's viable and what's not. But what I like about this set opposed to the other M sets is exactly that. They spread shit out. It's all over the place like every other M set, but they gave us a lot of good fucking cards in it.
I agree with elements of that. Like, I think this set more than any of the other M sets, spread it out even more. Like other M sets, they really pushed, you know, goblins or slivers or, you know, elves or so on and so forth. Like,
okay,
this one,
they're not even
coming close to trying to go, oh yeah, you could totally draft a dragon deck. No, you can't. You can pull the fucking +3/+3 to all your dragons, but there's what, like two dragons in the set so far? Three dragons? Yeah. Like, you know, and then same with like goblins. Goblins, elves, you know, everything. They're just sprinkling all of that stuff in there and adding to, you know, the standard format, essentially. Like, they're saying, okay, maybe with Tarkir's of Khan or whatever it is. Khan's of Tarkir. Okay, I'm dyslexic. But,
I'm dyslexic.
you know, like, with this one, they're not even trying to hide it. They're saying, like, look, we're trying to build a balanced, you know, core set. You know, and we're adding in cards that are great for modern, casual, new cards that are fun, you know. But on top of that, all of it is still a balanced, sealed format, draft format. And that's great. And the other thing that I like, I think this is the other reason why people are really liking M15, is they're getting away from that, okay, let's make the core sets really stupid. Like, let's make them, you know, all you've got to play a mono-colored deck and there's no activated abilities. It's all just, like, sorcery speed, you know, for the most part.
Garbage.
And this one, they're going, okay, we're going to give creatures abilities. We're going to, you know, add relevant tricks and interactions. And I think that people, you know, the community as a whole are going, thank you. Like, you know, this looks exciting to play. I'm excited to draft this. The fact that you can't just look at what's spoiled and go, okay, well, I'm going to draft these colors because they're the strongest.
Exactly.
That means that there's a complexity to the format. There's a, okay, well, I don't fucking know.
Which they've always kind of said. Like, I mean, M15 – or, I mean, the M sets are not for us. You know, they're not for the –
I think they are now.
I think that they're stating with this set that more and more they're respecting the fact that the most most of the people that are playing the core set are veterans. They're people that have played for a long time. Yes, it is slightly less complex than a standard set, a given set, you know, or a block or whatever you want to call it. But they're not like dumbing it down to the point where people like myself and you know people that have been playing for a long time are going like, fuck this, I don't want to play this. Like this doesn't seem fun.
You know, and that's what I was getting at. Is that like that seems to be like what was going on with the M sets before, and that's what they basically have said publicly is like the M sets are not really for you guys. It's a summer set. It's when we're bringing in new players, and they try to dumb it down so that new players can understand it. And you get this point where, you know, of course, like the Magic community, we all bitch about everything that anybody does ever because that's who we are as Magic players. We have to bitch about stuff. But everybody always bitched about the M sets, and this one really surprised me. Like I was absolutely turned off to the whole thing. I was like, oh god, another M set. And seeing how interesting this one is, and that's exactly it. It's you know all the blocks that they come out with, all the sets that are in the block. I'm more interested in because there's more going on. It's more complex. There's more of a theme going, which I like a lot. But you know, there's more going on as opposed to the M sets, which are pretty much here's a bunch of reprints. Here's a few new cards and go have fun.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to it. And we've said that, you know, countless times before with the other M sets, but this one, again, like you said, it's more interesting to people that know the game and not just to draw in the new player.
You know, what's really cool is that this is the first time they added the fourth Pro Tour. So they, I can guarantee they're like, we can't give the pros on the first core set Pro Tour a shit core set. Yeah, like I think that was part of the reason why the set is better. And in all honesty, I already talked to several new players that have been looking at this set, and I'm a huge, huge fan of putting other planes. Like I love that the core set is always this break between the big story blocks where you can revisit other things. Cause I think that's huge for like, driving people into the other sets. And I saw this kid, and he's like, what the fuck is a Soul of Zendikar? I'm like, oh my god, Zendikar. And like five people are like, Zendikar,
Landfall. You don't even know,
dog. Yeah. They're like, Zendikar is sick, man. And you haven't even seen Eldrazi yet. And he's like, Eldrazi, what? They're like, and it was this whole conversation all because the kid was looking at one card and it mentioned Zendikar. So I know, like, I'm just huge fan, love it. I think they're doing an excellent job. The set looks great. We haven't seen most of the commons yet. So, I mean, I guess I don't know. We can't really find archetypes, so we see that.
Yeah, that's true.
But
I think that you'll see like a lot more, maybe of the goblins and dragons and elves and shit. But I really don't think you're going to see too much of it, given the texture of the uncommons. I think they are just spreading it out. But I think they hit it out of the park with M15. I think M15's like a strong set for new players, for old players. Like, it gives you the nostalgia with, you know, the souls of, Zendikar. And, like, the fact Theros. That they put a Soul of Mirrodin and it's a colorless.
Oh,
you know,
it's so like, good.
Yeah.
Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's really good. And, you know, they're powerful cards. Like, if you – it's – you know, they're not on
they
the level
powerful.
Of Titans where
no.
they're just fucking broken. But, you know, at the same time, though, if you open one of those and you're fucking sealed, like you're smashed.
Yep.
Yeah, it's gonna be good times, you know. So I think they did a really good job. I think there's very few like just shit mythics in the set, you know, which I think is amazing. Like that's one of the things that I've just had taken issue with is like how many shit mythics have they printed like recently where you're just like, god damn it, this card just blows donkey balls no matter what. Like it doesn't matter whether
to ever play it, and it's got a fucking orange symbol on it.
The worst is like the 17 mana, draw your deck, play any spell you want, blue card. Like, oh, that's fucking useless, dude. Like when I see cards like that, just come on.
Well, that sees play in Legacy, so.
Yeah, I mean, but for like standard sets, it's just like, come on. I get the point.
I agree. At least if you can look at a card and go, oh, well, you know, cause I think that's like a $10 card now.
That's true. It was the other card.
That
I was,
one?
What was that other blue, the horrible one? Was it the Time Walk card?
Oh god, the one that that was like Time Twister-ish, and everyone's like,
went
nutty over it, and there's like five mana, like discard your hand, draw seven, start the game over, and Yeah, I have way too much of that card. Luckily, I didn't buy in like everybody else and spend, I think it was like $20 when that thing first got like leaked.
Yeah, it's like, woo! And, yeah, this is going to
be everybody went fucking apeshit over that card. Yeah, you know, there's a number of cards where it's just terrible. Like, it doesn't matter what you do with it. Like, there's this fringe play maybe in like Commander decks, you know, like,
yeah.
What's that Deadbridge Chant? And,
yep.
Fucking the Hesperia, and you know, like you see these like Timmy creatures that are just really terrible. They shouldn't be mythic.
Yeah, the one thing I'm really liking, and I'm hoping, I'm crossing my fingers that Court of Calling really is this like new, like I hope they're printing cards on purpose. Like this card is $20-$30 in Modern. We should support it. Let's reprint it. Mm-hmm.
And I think they're definitely doing that. There's no doubt.
I hope so.
I mean, you take a look. Mutavault, Court of Calling.
Scavenging Ooze, yeah.
Scavenging Ooze. You take a look at any of the sealed, like the Commander sets that they're reprinting. I mean, with Conspiracy, they reprinted Brainstorm and Swords to Plowshares and Stifle. And like, they're definitely going back.
They can't just go hit all the fucking, all of the hits all at once or anything.
No.
We tend to, you know, bitch and fucking give Watsy shit all the time. It's like, Jesus Christ, you need to bring some of these fucking prices Modern down. Yeah. And of course, we all would have liked to see, just to fucking make our, you know, bank accounts look better. We would have loved to see, like, you know, Shocklands be reprinted in fucking, or I'm not Shocklands. Fetchlands reprinted in M15, but of course they weren't.
But you can take this to the bank.
Cons of Tarkir.
Cons of Tarkir. Goddamn dyslexia. And the drink. I'm gonna. You know what? Fuck it. It's Tons of Tarkir now, and that's what it is. Tons of Tarkir is gonna have Onslaught Fetchlands. You've already seen the prices drop from Star City Games.
If it's going to be called Tarns of Karkir, it should probably have the fucking Zen fetches so we can have Scalding Tarn in it if it's going to be Tarn.
It should, but it's not. Like, listen. Onslaught fetches have already dropped remarkably in price on SCG and a couple other sites. Like, they've already gone down. I think it's already been known. All
right, so yeah, so you want to talk about this? So I didn't get a chance to talk about this last week. So Deep Throat, our Deep Throat source, basically has said
fucking MTG Deep Throat.
Yeah, check it out. Okay, so check this out. So I can't believe we forgot this. So at an event, a buyer was overheard talking. I think it was Chicago, wasn't it? Was it Vegas? Okay. A buyer was overheard talking to a Wizards employee, and basically the gist was
sell your Onslaught fetches.
And they sold them at the event, like, retarded. Now, maybe that's just bullshit, but why are we seeing such a move? Now, it's SCG we need to watch.
SCG's prices have already dropped 20
really?
Bucks. 20 bucks. Go online. Look. It was like $100. Or $120 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and they're at like $100 or like $20 less for some of them. You're already seeing a significant price drop on the Onslaught fetches. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, like, at some point those Onslaught fetches are going to get printed in the Cons of Tarkir block. Like,
they're going to get reprinted.
They're definitely going to get a reprint. I think they've shown already, like, that they're trying to make, you know, Modern and Legacy more accessible, because Magic has grown by 20% every single year for the last, I don't know how many years. And those sets have had like an insignificant print run. You know, like, I was reading, I can't remember the specific number, so I'm not going to like just like pull some out of my ass and throw them
just
at you.
Just pull some and say, like, 93%. Say
there's 90. Like an 80,000% increase in card print of this set compared to this. I think it's like Alara block. There's like three times as many cards in Zendikar as the Alara block, and then three times as much in like the present block as Innistrad. And you know, those like Lorwyn, Alara, all those blocks back then, like they have like the card print run on those is so much less than what is around now. So now they're going back and they're in, you know, and I think they're doing it really smart. They're throwing in a few money cards here, a few money cards there. And that's good. You know, you're not going to get one of these sets where everybody goes like fucking crazy and buys three cases and then the next set's bullshit. You know, right. You saw Mutavault in the last one. In this one, you're seeing Corda Calling. You're seeing, oh God, I'm drunk. What's the other one that they reprinted in M15? You know,
did they print another one? What did they print?
Yeah, there's another one in there.
The Hushwing Griff is actually totally modern playable. That thing is
good. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a new card. That's a new card, which I think is good. They're printing in, you know, balancing cards for Lyrapod.
Yeah.
It was Urborg,
Tomb of Yawgmoth. Yeah, see? I knew Drunk Me was forgetting something. But, you know, you're seeing
these... Phyrexian Revoker, too. I mean, they just threw that in. That's like a six-star card. So, like, love it.
Yeah. And, you know, and then in Conspiracy, you know, they're reprinting legacy staples like Brainstorm and Swords of Plowshares. And, you know, Factor Fiction is more of just a casual card. But you're seeing these reprints of really powerful, iconic cards that is going to increase the card, you know, the print run for these cards and give access to newer players for these eternal formats. And I think that, like, you know, this is a clear sign that they're going to do it. And then the price drop on the Onslaught fetches is a clear sign.
I think that was a lesson learned from Modern Masters that, you know, they like, again, we've said this before. It's like, you know, obviously Modern Masters didn't really help those super fucking rare modern stable, you know, Bobs and fucking Goyfs and stuff. It didn't help the prices of those much because of the way it was handled. But that was also like, you know, they were doing this kind of not the first time they've done it. You know, they did the Masters Edition sets on Modo and shit. But they're like, here, we're going to try to reprint some of these fucking modern staples that are just out of hand price wise and try to make them cheaper. But doing it as a limited run because of those fucking cards, the price tag attached to those cards in the secondary market, they were like, okay, well, we're going to do this as a limited run. And all that did was turn Modern Masters boxes into expensive shit. And then the game has grown so much now that, like, there's still so much of a fucking demand for those cards. They're like, oh, sweet. Now they're just as much as they were before, if not more. They've got different art on them, which makes them that much more because people are going to want, more collectible shit like that. And so they took a look at Modern Masters, I believe, and said, all right, well, we were heading in the right direction, but what we need to do now, instead of reprinting those huge fucking cards that people need, that, you know, they're way expensive, people need to get a hold of, let's start reprinting some of those ones that are, you know, like for Modern, for Legacy and shit like that. Let's start printing cards for those that are easily accessible, but we're not going to just fucking throw Goyf into a fucking core set, you know? Like, we're not going to go over...
Goyf won't ever get reprinted.
Well, no. I'm using that as an example. What I'm saying is, like, we're not going to go over the top. Let's kick it back a notch, but let's start printing some of these fucking cards. Like, just for example, again, like, I could see if it fit into the fucking set or something like that, like Kiki getting fucking reprinted because it's not a fucking, it's not
oh
a
Oh my
Goyf,
God, Kiki is so not going to get reprinted. It's from a fucking Japanese, like, ninja
set. It'll get
like,
reprinted, but it'll be a limited print run again.
Yeah, like, it'll be in a special product, not a core.
Yeah. It'll be in a sealed set.
They're gonna start reprinting cards like that aren't like the top end of, you know, your eternal formats, but those pricey ass cards in the middle to try to bring the price of those decks down.
Well,
yeah,
you know
you're
what?
Still gonna have Bobs and Goyfs.
Here's the thing, Kevin. Here's the thing.
It's much for shit like C's. You're not gonna have to pay as much for, because those prices are gonna come down because they're gonna print those cards in these sets, you know. If it's something that's going to get out of control, like you said, you know, Kiki's not going to get printed in a fucking M set, but do it in a limited set. But you could turn around and fucking print Thoughtseize in a fucking standard legal set because it fits in the set. And it's also a card that used to be fucking way pricier than it is now. And they're going to just drive down the prices somewhat of modern decks so people can, eternal decks so that people can get into those formats.
The more I see of Thoughtseize, the more I agree with Kibler. I think that card shouldn't have been put in standard. It's fucking... God damn, the card's so powerful. Anyways, David.
Shit about.
I want to ask David a real question, though. So, for coming from a store standpoint, right? Like, let's move back to those Onslaught fetch lands. So, from a store standpoint, you're about to go in. You're about to buy cards. You're about to probably buy, you know, new products. You're probably going to buy a lot of other cards, too, to just fill the case. So, what is your thoughts? Like, you look at that. It's a rumor at this point. Do you even touch, like, Onslaught Fetchlands? Are you like, fuck it, way too dangerous?
Yes, I think you still buy them. Like, if you go on SCG, they're still going to buy those fetch lands. It might be at a slightly reduced price, but even if they buy them at that, what, 50% for high demand cards that they offer, and then they sell them, you know, for 50% increase on that, like, they're still going to see profit off of buying those. And especially if, like, you know, say, like, Thoughtseize, you know, you brought that up. That's new art. I think they're giving these cards new art. And so you're still seeing, like, what, the Lorwyn Thoughtseize is still, like, what, $10, $20 more expensive than the new one? So, yeah, I think as from a store standpoint, you still buy them. Like, you understand that maybe you won't see as much profit as you should, if you sell it in a few months. But you're still going to see a significant profit on it. And if it's new art, which, like, I think they will. I don't think they will print the Onslaught fetches with the
old art. They'll have new art, for sure.
I think it'll have new art, and so the old fetch lands will still command a new price. Yeah, you'll have new frames. So the older fetches will still retain a higher price due to rarity and collectability, you know. So, but from a store standpoint, yeah, it's still a buy. Like
So check this out too. This is an interesting thing that Deep Throat emailed me about too, and he said, so if this Onslaught fetch land in Karns is to be believed, right? We got a whole block. So the new frames are the security, right? So that's why they're reprinting cards. Maybe that's also why they spiked M15 a little bit, because they want to, you know, start to get at the, hey, guys, don't counterfeit this. Or, you know, your Magic is safe. Look, we're putting money cards in these new secure frames. You know, those new fetch lands are going to come out supposedly secure until China does, you know, prints them next week. But yeah. let's maybe they take Zen fetch lands and throw them in that block as well in the third set. Right, then they've got your modern fetchland base in secure frames, and that would just, man, is that going to bring the price down? Which I think that would be a great thing. It'd be an interesting standard, but I think that would be
I've heard of that, but I don't think that they'll have all 10 fetches in standard at the same time. I really don't, and I don't think that they'll
They had all shocks. Why not?
They had all shocks, but shocks is a different story. Like, for one, you know, like.
If you're only, but you're not fetching shocks, you're just fetching basics. So
yeah, I don't think that they're gonna have the Zendi fetches reprinted that fast compared to the Onslaught fetches.
They're gonna save it for Zendikar too.
Yeah, I think so, or at least, you know, a few blocks later. Like, I don't think that they'll have all 10 fetches in standard at the same time. And especially given that they printed the pain lands, which are the opposite colors of the Onslaught fetches. Like, I don't think that they'll print them all. They might. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, they might print all 10 fetches, but I really don't think they'll do it all in one block. Trying to spread the love.
With the Painlands, speaking of that, do you think we'll see the other half of the Painlands anytime soon, or are they just going to leave it at this?
No, this is just for core set, man.
Yeah, I know it's for the core set, but do you think
you'll definitely see them? It might be the next core set. I don't know, but you'll definitely see a reprint of the other five fetch lands. I think that they've shown that if they're going to print one part of it, they're not going to print another one. I think in all likelihood, though, like you're much more likely to see another reprint of like the Innistrad
buddy lands,
enemy check lands,
check lands.
I think that's what they're called, right? Checklands?
Yeah, that's what development. I like Buddy Lands, but whatever.
Buddy Lands?
Buddy, hey, buddy.
The enemy Buddy Lands? That doesn't make sense.
See, that's the thing.
You be quiet.
The other five.
Oh, sorry. The midget buddy talking.
Yeah. It's the drunk midget talking.
Quiet, you.
Quiet, you. Stand down.
Stand down.
Focus short with me, Frodo.
You know what I was going to say, though? What's interesting is if Onslaught Fetchlands do come in Karns and we don't get Zendikar Fetchlands, it would explain why in Montreal they were paying such stupid money for them. Because those Zendikar lands are
fetches?
Yeah, they're going to easily go over 100. Like, Scalding Tarn and Misty's will be easily 150. Like, if they're not in that Karn block, because then they're like, oh, well, it's going to be 3 years. Maybe Modern Masters 2, whenever that comes in 2016. Like, then I guarantee you those fetch lands go through the fucking roof, which would explain to me why, like, as I sold out in Montreal for what I believe were absurd cash rates. So maybe they know something, and that would explain also a bit of what's going on. know.
I don't think that the Zendi fetches will see a reprint until the Onslaught fetches rotate out of standard.
That could be.
I think as soon as that rotates out, then you'll see the Zendi fetches get a reprint, and you know, and to me, that's what makes sense. That makes sense
Maybe the following year, like we've said earlier tonight, it's like, you know, it's that 3 month period where like everything's great, you know, when you've got both fucking M sets in standard, but you know, maybe they reprint them the following M set, you know, M16. And then you've got, okay, now you've got, or are we talking, sorry, are we still talking the fucking Painlands?
It's the Drunk Midget, get the fuck out of here, Drunk Midget.
I just realized this, I was like just throwing this argument out there, I was like, wait, I'm staring at the Painlands, but I think they're talking about the Fetchlands, so never mind.
Yeah, we're still talking about the Fetchlands.
You know what the best is, Kevin? You're like that little brother who like is just going to say the opposite of what the other guy says.
No,
like, you know what?
Bullshit, I want to talk about this instead.
He's like the little brother in the fact that, you know, when he starts talking, it's like, oh, sure, and then once everybody shuts up, then a sentence starts.
Yep.
That's exactly. Okay, I just wanted to touch on a quick question that a couple people had on Twitter. They were asking about Vintage Masters prices online. So, quickly, I think Vintage Masters looks to be, if you just go on Goldfish, MTG Goldfish, you look at that chart, it is definitely plateauing. You're talking about $1,000 for a one of everything right now. That's basically very close to the low of $992. Not to throw numbers at you because we're kind of sauce, but I'm just saying things look good to me. I would be buying. If you want in on Vintage and Legacy, just go look at what the non-printed cards in Legacy that weren't in Vintage Masters. Those cards are going through the fucking roof right now, so... it feels like there's something going down. Rashard and Ports, 136. Wastelands, 102. Fucking Show and Tell's, $89. That's crazy talk, people. Crazy fucking talk. So if you're interested in Legacy, Vintage Masters, if you want to play online, dude, I don't personally believe, even if we switch over and V4 comes and it sucks, I personally believe people like me and Marcel and I'm going to make sure Kevin won't quit. And we're just going to be like, fuck it. It's the new thing. We'll deal with it. And
so
you know what?
People playing with your fake cards.
Oh, you shut up. It's awesome, man. You can play anytime, anywhere. I'm going to get you on, too, so be quiet.
I'm on there. I just draft and do sealed and stuff. I don't play constructed.
Ah, well, you can play modern, then. Modern's fun.
Modern's
great.
Not constructed? When the fuck did that happen?
Well, I mean,
modern sealed now?
Yeah, Modern Steel. Modern Steel would be fucking amazing.
That was awesome.
All right. Yes.
Last time we had... Oh, segue time!
All
last
right, segue.
Last time we had David on the cast. David, you know, had... What was it? Fuck, you top aided fucking... Was that an SCG event or was that a GP?
Yeah, I got fifth place at SCG LA.
Right. And then just recently...
asshole hurts.
You got ninth place... At SCG Vegas.
Yeah, I was on the bubble by 2% because some fucking cocksucker in 10th place goes, I'll concede to you.
Oh.
So explain to us what happened. Like,
and he was a midget. He was a midget.
Don't
he was
even
fucking
say
vengeance.
It. Don't even God. Say it. Don't.
He was. He was an Asian midget. I watched it happen.
Don't lie. Was he really a midget? Because that's
he was. Well, if he wasn't a midget, he was legally a fucking dwarf. Like, he was tiny. Like, I wanted to, like, pet him. Like, oh, so tiny. But, here's the story. I went 8-1 and it was going into the 10th round. And I should have listened to my friends. They said, all right, you're in 8th place. If the 9th place person wins and a couple other matches don't go your way, you won't make top 8, so you should just play. Well, I was sick. I was not feeling well. I was burnt out. I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. A lot has to go wrong for me not to make top 8. So I drew with my opponent. 5 seconds after I draw with my opponent, the 9th and 10th place people like went, yeah, I'll concede to you. Well, congratulations on your top 8. And then apparently the other matches didn't go my way because I missed out on top 8 by 2%. And I'm not shitting you, this was a little tiny Asian fucker that conceded to the 9th place guy.
It was KYT.
No, it wasn't KYT. He was shorter than KYT.
Caleb, like, he's by, like 6 feet tall. What are you talking about? He's not. He's bad.
That's
bad.
What I'm saying. He was shorter by a fair margin. So, like, yeah, it really sucks to go 8-1-1 and not make top eight. But I was really happy with my deck choice. They did a versus video on SCG with it and
oh, what'd
and
you mentioned play?
It. Naya tokens.
Get into that. What did you do? What did you play? Not fair.
Basically, my deck was built around, you know, whipping my Purphoros out and sticking it in my opponent.
I like that. There's a good one.
Basically, like, if you watch the versus video, they talk about it. The nice thing about it is it's really resilient to, like, Thoughtseize and stuff like that, because Purphoros is like the linchpin of the deck, but if you don't have it, it's still a very powerful deck, because all the cards are just really strong all on their own. Because if you go Voice of Resurgence into Corsair Crucifix into Purphoros into Scion of V2Gazi, into Elspeth, it's just absurd, because Scion of V2Gazi with a Purphoros out is 6 damage, putting, you know, at least 6 power on the board, more if you have a Voice token out, or a Xenagos 2/2 Satyr out, you know, because it creates a bird token and then populates, so if you have a Voice of Resurgence token, it makes another one of those, or a Satyr token. And then Elspeth plus 1, make 3 soldiers, deal 6 damage. Like, it's just really, really powerful. You know, and if they take your Purphoros, you're still putting 6 power on the board with 2 flyers, or, you know, an Elspeth plus 1, 3 soldiers, which can end games by itself. So it really puts a lot of pressure. You know, they Thoughtseize you, they see a Purphoros, a Xenagos, an Elspeth, and, you know, they're like, well, what the fuck do I pick?
Well, what the fuck do I take? Right.
Yeah, exactly. And whatever they take, it doesn't matter. You still have a strong play. It's still powerful all on its own. You know, and it plays Domri Raid, Elvish Mystic. I mean, it's got one of the most powerful curves you could think of. You know, turn 1 Mystic, turn 2 Domri, turn 3, you know, Purphoros, turn 4 Scion of V2Gazi, turn 5 Elspeth. Like, just stupid stuff.
Jesus.
I mean, one of the games I went, like, turn 3 Xenagos, 0 ability, make a Satyr. Like, turn 4, I cast Scion of V2Gazi, 0 ability, Xenagos. Like, turn 5, I cast plus 1 Xenagos, Overload, Mizzium, Mortars. fucking just stupid stuff. Like, basically, that's what it built. How'd that match go? I bent the guy over the table and stuck my perf in him. You know, it's a really, really good deck, and, you know, it's proactive. I don't like being reactive in standard. It's, you know, you basically have to have the opponent stop you from doing what you're doing.
Awesome, man. So, like, I definitely will look into that. I always like the Nihilist for standard.
I cannot wait till this motherfucker actually, like, you know, just takes one of these fucking SCG events or takes one of these fucking GPs down.
It's gonna happen at some point.
Well, are you coming to Portland?
I'm really looking forward to Portland, because my friend Brian Zunter, who's a fucking, he's like a magic savant. Like, he's stupid good. He's top eighted like 3 SCG opens in a row. He won a PTQ. He's qualified for the Pro Tour. He's made day 2 at, like, every GP I've been at. Like, GP Phoenix, he day 2'd, and then, like, he would have probably top 8'd except for he, like, lost to Ochoa, and then what was the other pro, like, right after him that beat him? You know, he's been on, like, a tear. So I'm on a team with him. I don't know whether we have a third person yet, but hopefully they're as good as he is. And
see, and I didn't even know up until this point if you were actually going to make it to Portland, because I know we talked about it a while back. But
it's just,
like,
it's stupid because I got, you know, I teach grappling and then I have my full-time job, my 2 kids, I'm opening the store. So I said, fuck it, I'm going to sell a motorcycle and I'm going to go to GP Portland. So.
Yes. That's what I said, man. I'm like, fuck it, I'm just doing
now
this.
Now I feel bad because, like, David is my fucking homie. David's from here. We get drunk, we have fun, we play Magic, and yet, like, we're going to be fucking,
we cuddle.
You know, hundreds of, yeah, we cuddle. Yeah, there's video of that. Marcel released it. No, but then we're gonna be hundreds of miles away in Portland, and I feel like I gotta leave you alone because you know, you guys are fucking tearing shit up, and I would much rather see you do well than get drunk with me and be like, oh, it was one of
those. Fuck that. Like, you remember Vegas? What, I top eighted that draft thing, and I was just as hammered as you were the fucking night before.
That's true. He was just as hammered as
I don't get hangovers.
He
drove, I don't get hangovers.
That's one thing that, like, I've never mastered that David has. David, this is one of the things we've been through Gumby does not get hangovers. And it, literally every time we drink together, every time we, you know, whether we're drinking and playing Magic or drinking and drawing dicks on each other on the PlayStation, this motherfucker hits me up the next morning. He's just all, hey, how you feeling? And I'm like garbage. Like, fuck, what do you, I hit him up at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, you know, he'll write me at like 9. I'll answer at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like garbage. What the fuck do you think I feel like? And we were like, we went to bed when the sun came up. He's like, man, those hangovers must suck. Motherfucker's never got a hangover, like, ever.
ever. You know, it's funny. I'm slowly getting immune to them, too. Like, it's crazy.
I don't even know what they feel like.
Yeah, well, fuck, man. The last one, you know what I think it is? Now that I avoid wine.
Listeners turn on you. All of our listeners are like, oh, Dave's our fucking hero. He's our man, dude. He's a bad Magic player. He's a great fucking personality. And then when you're just all, and I also don't get hangovers, they're like, you know what? Arrogant son of a bitch.
You know, but I abuse midgets. That's my fault. Like, that's my vice.
Wow.
I can't stop it.
I swear this guy's like the segue master. So everyone knows we've gotten a lot of positive, or maybe it's shitty, I don't really know what the response was to have
positive or negative feedback. Yeah. Is more because you just get a bunch of it.
I was gonna say I really don't know what the feedback was on our shit episode, but apparently either people like don't comment or don't care or were laughing. So, you know, I think it was good. Everyone had a blast. Jay Bush had a good time with us. But as a result, I can't even remember, but I think I said just, hey, if you want, send me your shit. So my inbox has been inundated with stupid fake. No, it's stupid fake shit that I'm like, come on, guys. It's like, I know this is fucking you, like Les or something. Like, come on, man. Yeah,
pooped and a dinosaur came out. And it was fucking awesome. You guys are going to believe this and read it on air.
But, buried at the bottom of my inbox on Tuesday.
I thought that was his Twitter name, buried at the bottom.
that is an awesome Twitter handle, buried in the bottom of it. Buried at the bottom of my inbox was an email from a listener. And I'm going to read that to you now because this is interesting. Yeah, no, this is an interesting email. So, dear, I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm just going to read it. You make of it what you will. It references the past and the future. It's very interesting. So, dear Heavy Meta, I have listened to your episodes since the famous midget episode, which is, thank you, that's awesome. I guess it's a famous episode. He goes on to say, I really enjoyed that episode. It was quite funny to hear you guys laughing and making fun of midgets. Those small, dense things need to be made fun of, which is such a great line. But he goes, there was a bit of a lull in your podcast, and then Jay Bush came on and talked about shit, which, again, this episode made me cry out my ass, which I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. But
I think that's called diarrhea.
Email
him back.
Crying from my butt.
Yeah. But no one has ever touched on the dreaded, feared, and taboo topic of shit midgets. Hence, I shall do so now. So this is interesting. I think this is a little bit odd, right? He goes, Yeah, who knows, right? I can't even
name it. It's a little dense, but let's do this.
It's fine. He says, my name is Tom Tompkins, which is fine.
Tom Tompkins.
Tom
You're
Tompkins.
A midget named Tom Tompkins. I'm gonna start here.
He's reading this. My name is Tom Tompkins, and I am vertically challenged. I sit below 4 feet tall. I am not, in bold red, a midget. I have never been a midget, even when I was smaller, nor will I be a midget as I shrink in older age. I have, however, been mistaken for a midget. And here is my story. And I was born in the plane. I was sat next to a very nice young gentleman. We began conversation obscurely about weather and sports, and then he mentioned the fact that his wife was a midget. And I said to him, this is an excellent and beautiful thing for you, although I am not a midget. And he countered with bullshit. You are. You're a fucking midget, and I know it.
You're a fucking midget, and I know it.
I got eyes.
Which is like.
You fit in my pocket. You classify as a midget.
Who said that to someone? Like, so, where am I? Hey,
by the way, I just warned you. Oh,
yes.
You're a midget. And I know it.
No. Okay, so you're a midget and I fucking know it. What a rude response, I thought to myself, and it would be best to just ignore the man for the rest of the flight. When I first noticed the man sitting down, he looked like a very kind and generous person with a nice, kind face. Slowly, as he drank, though, he transformed into one of the rudest, crudest people. Guys, in bracket, guys, you probably know a few, which is like insulting, because like we don't use.
Yeah, wow. Well,
maybe, right? Okay. Yeah, exactly, right? What are you guys insulting the show for? You fucking emails. Okay, so.
You would expect that Tom Tom would be the bigger man here.
Tom Tom.
Tom Tom's got a name now. Oh.
Okay, I will refer to him as Tom Tom.
The Twitter account Heavy Meta Midget now has to change his name to Tom Tom.
At Tom Tom.
I think that's already taken by the navigation. Anyway, so as the stewardess came around to offer us drinks, this is the best. So as the stewardess came to offer us drinks, the man put his hand over my lap and told the stewardess, "My child is not allowed to drink." So I immediately protested and said, "I am not a child. I am a man. I'm a full-grown man." But the stewardess had to second guess and asked me for my identification to make sure.
Oh,
so he's like, after this is what he goes. By the way, this was an 11-hour flight. He's like, after the third beer, we were both getting extremely rowdy. Not only
extremely
as rowdy as somebody 3 feet tall can get.
Yeah.
Just fucking put him in the under fucking care compartment.
Yes.
So sorry, you're gonna have to put your child in the overhead compartment.
That would be the fucking. So okay, so where the, you're making me lose my shit. Okay. So now that I had a couple of drinks in me, my courage was growing because he's so short. He wrote it's growing. Oh, and this is awesome. He's drinking Kraken, I guess. My courage.
How big is that shit?
That's a big fucking. That's a nice one, man.
Now, anyways, I'm down to fucking vodkas.
Stop interrupting.
Oh, vodka. Fuck that. I'm gonna fucking get into your fucking marriage stash over there.
My marriage is right over here. I'm telling you.
No, yeah, I got another bottle of this for fucking.
Oh yeah, my marriage stash.
Cards and everything. I don't know whether anybody...
For those of you that aren't viewing this while Maddie's trying to tell his story, we've gone next level on Maddie.
This is so amazing.
We don't just interrupt what he's saying. We just hit video and then make Maddie watch us do shit like this.
This is the most impossible thing. It's like watching two child teenagers... Just trying to fuck you up during a class presentation.
We're doing everything we can to fuck with.
You can tell how drunk I am. Look how fucking pink I am. You can't even tell that the shirt I'm wearing is pink. This is fucked up.
Anyways, back to story time, folks. So now that
meat is murder. Tasty meat sack of murder.
So for anybody that's still listening, I apologize, but this is what happens to the
kids. Sorry, that happened.
No. Continuing on. Now that I had a few drinks in me, I was getting my confidence was growing. So I decided to
Phrasing!
That's what I was saying before you interrupted. Yeah, anyways, so my confidence was growing. So I decided Listen, you fuckers, you're ruining this. I decided to confront this scallywag.
What
the fuck? So I posed to him, "What difference does the size of a man make?" And his response was, "My dick is huge, I can slap you in the face with it." Which is just such an awesome retort to his question. So, hearing this, I decided to prove that I was bigger than he thought.
That I was a tripod.
I decided to unzip my fly and pull out my manhood. As I did so, the jaw of this man fell to the floor. I was holding in my hands a baby's arm.
With the apple.
No, he doesn't say the apple. Unbeknownst to me, he was not the only viewer of said show. A little girl, no less than 4 years old, was peeking over the back of the seat as I held my junk in my hand. She screamed, "Oh my God, what is that thing?" Just in time for the woman in front to turn around and grab her child by the face and cover her eyes. Screaming, she yelled, "Pervert, pervert, this little boy is pulling out his penis. Oh my God, what has this flight turned into?" The stewardess came bawling.
It's like snakes on a plane!
The stewardess came bawling down the aisle, only to confront me and tell me that I have now committed multiple crimes against the airline.
Jackson came out and was like, "I am sick and tired of these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
I'm tired of all these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
I'm tired of all these fucking midgets always on this cast." Now,
I'm tired of all these motherfucking meat sacks on this goddamn heavy metal.
So as I sat in the rumpus, what, the rumpus seat, whatever that is, at the front of the plane awaiting my punishment.
It's like a fucking
the rumpus seat.
Whatever that
sounds like, a midget seat right there. I gotta go sit on my rumpus.
So as I sat there,
get to the rumpus room. Get to the rumpus room.
We represent the rumpus room.
Yeah. So as I sat there awaiting my punishment, as I knew it would be, the man who sat with me the whole flight kept staring at me. I didn't know if it was an evil stare, a mischief type of stare, or maybe he was trying to apologize for getting me in trouble. I wouldn't know until we were deboarding? Isn't it departing? Whatever. We were deboarding. As all the people deboarded, he waited till the last person off, just so he could say one last thing to me. He looked down at me and he said, "You're disgusting. You're a disgusting, vile little creature." Who says that to a poor guy after he's gotten
in trouble? I would do that.
Hey, I was drunk, all right? I was drunk, and he freaked me out.
Yeah, he just got knocked out of top eight. He had a block. He was fucking angry, and he was drunk.
I was about four tentacles deep in my third Docker Kraken.
So he said,
"You're disgusting.
You are a disgusting, vile little creature. But you should call me sometime."
What the fuck?
Yes. He goes, I will not go any deeper and tell you the future tales of this encounter, but I will just say this. They are reserved for those that need to know more.
Now we know what that means.
Fucking mischievous midgets and their giant cocks and gay activities.
It's pretty disgusting. It's pretty disgusting. I mean,
oh, were you one of those need to know more?
No, because he didn't send me the second email. I have no clue. I just punch midgets. I don't.
It looks like a baby's arm holding an apple.
He's all. I didn't subscribe to his service that he asked me to, but I'm just.
Yeah. He invited me back to the rumbus room, but I declined.
Yeah. Is it just an email that, like, all of us got, but it's like the Prince of Nigeria, but for perverts?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It just says, "Enter your card here."
And he's just, "Yeah, midget, let's read this on air." And then he got hacked. Shit.
Yeah, I should have never read it, because I knew it was just bad.
I might have sent my email address and my home address to a fucking pervert midget website.
I sent him to at least three of them. I'm still waiting to hear back, though.
If there ever was a pervert midget.
I can't.
Hey, there was that clip. I don't know if any of you guys saw that clip of that black midget dancer that jumped at the guy.
Yes, I saw it.
Oh, my God, that was amazing.
Oh, dude, what? Stripper. And she fucking jumped. Wasn't she a stripper? She
oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And he just, like, power bombs the shit out of her.
But the best is he power bombs her, and then he gives her the, "Oh, damn," and runs away.
He's like, "Oh, shit," walks away.
Completely honest. Like, what
Oh man.
Like, you know, like there's an artillery shell heading towards you. Like if you can just
he wasn't expecting how dense that was. That's all.
No, you never are. That's the thing. Imagine
that. You can't expect that. Like, that's unheard of.
Yeah, your brain looks at that and says, that's probably 40, 45 pounds coming at you, and it's like 86.
They're like living lead babies. That's all that they are.
They're living weapons.
Living lead babies.
Lead babies. Oh!
Wasn't that an old 80s toy? Living lead babies.
Living lead babies. That was a band.
Get your living lead babies.
In the fucking in the boost cube, we need to have another artifact.
Yeah, that's got to be another fucking card. Living lead babies, right there.
We got to get away from.
It's similar to bottle gnomes, but it gets you drunk.
It's like living lead babies. They don't go anywhere ever.
Wait. Why is bottle gnomes not a fucking boost cube card?
It is.
It is, man.
It is. Oh, okay, good. Okay, good.
Bottle gnomes. It's just fucking. He has bottle tokens.
Wait, well, no, there's gotta be bottle gnomes, like, we just basically said it. It's fucking drunk midgets right there, bottle gnomes, like, done.
No, it's...
Living lead babies!
Living lead babies! Its creature type is bottle-gnome, and so, you can splash...
Maybe, it's probably just I don't ever remember, booze cube's always new to me, because the next day I wake up on some random porch without my sandals going, what the fuck did I do?
We need to play fucking Booze Cube more often.
Agreed. I got this gigantic bottle of Kraken over here with your name on it.
I know! I got this fucking awesome fucking tweet from David who's just like, I got half of your wedding present here, and I can't contain myself, so I want to send you a picture. And I got a picture of this is like, you know, right around the time of my wedding. He's like, but the rest is not going to be here until after the wedding, so I kind of want to send you a picture. I was like, I'm all about pictures, and I was hoping it was his junk. But it wasn't. It was a gigantic bottle of Kraken with, you know, the Kraken playing cards. I was like, oh, that's fucking sweet. And I ran inside and I told my wife that David got us this wedding present and it was awesome and she probably wouldn't understand. And I showed her the picture and she's just all, well, I mean, that's cool, but like, you know.
Where's the real present?
What about for me?
Hey.
But then, David, because we live in the same town of fucking like 25,000 people, and David is literally probably less than a mile away from me right now, but we only get to see each other every while. he still has not made it back over here to collect the insert from his wallet that he left here. And since he was at my wedding, I haven't seen him face to face because we both have shit to do. We both have jobs. We both have stuff going on. And so, like, he's like, man, I am sick and tired of telling you about your wedding present. I got to fucking send you a picture of it. So he sent me a picture of it, and that prompted me to be like, oh, hey, what are you doing this weekend?
We should totally hang out. Hey, to be fair, I did get Sarah something that she's got a fucking...
Which is awesome. Like, it looks like a giant... dildo, like, I'm not gonna lie, it's a bottle of liquor. It's a bottle of liquor for Sarah because he got me the Kraken, and then he got Sarah a bottle of liquor.
Oh my god, dude. Okay, I have to interrupt. Have you ever seen the banana liqueur bottle that's shaped like a penis?
Oh no, I haven't seen that.
Okay, my wife, when we got married, someone gave it to her. This is a real drink. Someone's got to find this. I think it's in Mexico or Argentina or something. But there's a banana liqueur.
It doesn't matter.
Dude, I swear to God, it's a banana liqueur, but the bottle is a banana. It looks like it's a glass blown banana, but it's not. It's a penis. Like, it's literally a dick.
A blown penis.
No, it has, like, the tip of everything. And then it's got, like, two, like, I don't know, leaves that are shaped like balls, so the damn bottle sits, like, with an erect penis. It's hilarious! And you're supposed to, like, take the lid off and drink the penis?
Eddie, you were asking me what I wanted from Canada. That's what I want from Canada.
That's what I want right there.
I don't have a bottle
of penis liquor.
Dude, import that shit to Uganda. And then
Uganda. Ugaba.
I want the Ugandan penis liquor.
Ugandan penis liquor.
And it needs to be delivered by a midget.
I need a midget carried in. Yes. And present present me the fucking banana liquor penis on a pillow.
Okay.
You asked for it, man. You said,
hey, man, I don't. The only problem is that's not Canadian. If there was a beaver.
That's the thing. It's like you asked me. You're like, what do you want me to bring you to Portland?
But I don't have that. It was got thrown out.
Not from the Great White North is some shit that you have to import.
How do you throw out a penis bottle?
Because we had kids and it was like obvious that it was a penis. I'm like, we can't have this in the house. This is retarded. Someone's going to say something. And it was gross.
I still have a, hey.
It was horrible booze.
And I still keep kids in the house.
I'm allowed to keep a penis in the house. Yeah, mine.
Oh, I said that's it. You have a one penis rule in your house, and unless you like off your own, then how bad do I want to keep this last fucking banana penis in my house? Like, do I want to get rid of my manhood or not?
It was pretty big. I don't know.
Oh,
it was,
God, if anybody checks my Google search, this is gonna be bad.
Uh-oh.
Never
fucking
ever.
Banana liquor penis.
Banana liquor penis.
All right, now let's just have fun and search that. I want to see.
It's going to get retarded.
You don't want to do it. I'm telling you right now.
I'm doing it right now.
David is full on giving us the fucking disclaimer.
And I'm image searching that. Let's see what I get. Oh, Jesus Christ. That is.
Did it look like this?
No, it did. Actually, yeah, it looked like the ones, the party penises. That's what it looked like. Man, that's not cool, dude. There is, that is fucking
disgusting. I'm sorry.
Oh,
did it look like this, though?
Did it look like this? Hey, the chocolate covered banana, those are awesome. 8 inches of dark chocolate filled.
Whoa! Dark. Whoa, that sounds like something else there. Oh, you ever had 8 inches of dark chocolate?
This is fucking ridiculous. What I find funny is like when I put in banana liquor penis into Google Images, I get like a cocktail that looks yellow. I get a chocolate covered black penis, and then
I get some
dude standing there in like a fucking North Korean fucking outfit, like military outfit.
Okay, let's
say same here.
I'm not really sure what they're growing over there.
What? It's North Korean banana liquor penises over there.
Yeah. Then you go a few down, like maybe it's like 10 or 11, but then there's just this little tiny bottle with Korean letters on it. And it's a little tiny bottle of what I'm assuming is liquor with a bunch of Korean letters on it that is really, really small. And then right after it is a whole parade of chocolate-covered penis bananas. So,
which is where it's at, by the way, if you haven't had them.
Yeah, you gotta have a fucking parade. I mean, like,
yeah, I mean, if you haven't had a chocolate covered penis banana, you have not lived. And yeah. Only place to find them is North Korea. So good luck
in North Korea. The North Korean military, like, apparently they haven't gone. Like, oh, you know what? Like, you guys might think that what we do over here is wrong. You know, fucking. But what we got is
what is this podcast about? I forgot.
I'm pretty sure at this point
it's magic.
Oh yeah,
it doesn't.
Which is what it would take for you to have a small Korean man, and which is actually, as I get closer, is holding a fucking Ken doll for some reason, fully decorated North Korean man in uniform. Like, it takes magic to turn banana liquor penis into a Korean soldier with a Ken doll in his hand.
Magic and Google.
And I am not sure what song is playing right now, but I guarantee you that song is referencing bananas. And maybe
probably.
What, Greg? I'm a banana.
You're a what?
I'm a banana.
What happened to your clothes?
I'm a banana. I'm a banana. I'm a banana. I'm a banana. Look at me, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a banana. I'm a banana. I'm a banana. Look at me, man. Banana power. Banana power. Banana power. Banana power. Banana power. Banana power. Banana power.
Look at me,
man. Uh-oh, banana time.
It's Matty Studios here. I just want to say thank you so much for listening to another incredible episode of Heavy Meta. We try our best every week to bring you unique and funny moments in podcast history. Unfortunately, I'm giving you a warning to turn off and not listen to the rest of this episode. Please, whether you're driving, sitting, having sex with a monkey, you need to turn this episode off and stop listening immediately. Anything that happens after this time, we are not legally responsible for. Martin Burnett has ensured us that legally, you do not have the right to sue us if you have brain hemorrhaging, if you suddenly die from laughing, or if you're so disgusted, you throw up in your pants. Thank you.
Next on the docket, where'd the German accountant midget?
Maddie's trying to get out.
I'm just trying to close the show so we can get to the second half.
That's
completely the 3-hour shout-outs.
Oh yeah, man, we're basically.
I feel like as soon as somebody says the like that line, that gives Maddie an out to where he's just like, you know what? I don't feel like dealing with the back end of the cast. I'm just here. So I still do everything I can to not say those words.
Hey man, I've put a line in the sand and I've realized that sometimes you got to retire the stuff that's the best. You got to put that line to bed. Now we're psyching people out because they don't know when the show is going to end. Because
they don't have to end in North Korea.
Hey, North Korean. North Korean is fucking awesome.
I want that haircut.
That guy is a gold mine to all comedians around the world, and we should be thankful.
Let's get into Portland. Let's get into what we've got going on there. Because, I mean,
Portland is going to be insane.
Resurrect the subject we've talked about a lot. We have this thing that's happening now that is far beyond what I thought it was going to be.
Hey, wait. Do I still have a spot in Portland, like in the house?
It's possible, but
I will.
You might
want to
confirm
on something
with myself.
Since we've talked like very little about Portland in the last.
All right. Let's hype Portland for Kevy. So here's what's going.
Gumby's gonna be there. But we have to fucking make Gumby fit in the house. That means we have to, turn midget. Like, you have to use magic to turn midget.
I'm Clay. I'll fit wherever I need to. I don't care.
I'll fit wherever I need to. That's awesome.
We've said this before, but, we have fucking two houses that are one house apart.
You just sleep in the middle of the two houses, man.
Yeah, I don't care. I'll sleep on somebody. I don't give a shit. I'll sleep in Marcel's fro. I don't care.
What's gonna be awesome is if you do, God forbid, you're on a fucking run, man. But if God forbid you just fucking drop from the tournament, you get in, you have one of those bad days and you drop, then I'm gonna do everything it takes to convince you after you've been drinking all day to knock on the door of the house in between us and try to involve it as the third house.
I'm in Portland. I don't give a shit.
It's Portland. There are a bunch of fucking hippies. Marcel will give you some weed to give to them, and they'll be like, you can have our house. It's fine.
The only reason I'm even going to Portland is to eat more of Marcel's food. That's all I care about.
I get that, and I understand. I completely understand that.
I don't think Marcel's making food this time, is he?
What? Dude. Flight canceled. I don't even care. Flight canceled.
No, I think he is. I think he's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, then I'm going. I'll go to that fucking house. I don't care. I'll be gay. I'll be Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't care. Whatever you guys want me to be, I'll do it.
Sweet.
The movie preview voice.
Whatever I need to be in order to get Marcel's chicken.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to get out of here. They're trying to take my chicken.
What are you talking about? How are you talking like me?
One man,
this is crazy.
One desire. One piece of chicken titty. One guy who thinks he can do my voice. One midget.
Holy shit.
One baby arm. One front.
David,
one rumpus room.
Okay, so that is the dumbest shit ever. So if we were gonna do a movie trailer for that midget, a pathetic man. I can't even fucking do it. Wait.
Pathetic midget with one baby arm without an apple in the rumpus room. That disgusting lead motherfucker.
No. That's actually really good. Yeah, the best would be this one. Would be like,
a lonely man heads forth into the sky only to encounter.
You sound like Batman.
That's even better. Fucking Batman. Yeah. At that point.
Bane.
Yeah, no, you sound like the modern Batman.
I eat justice for breakfast.
I can't even fucking do it. I'm laughing.
Can we talk about that for a minute? And why do they have to make Christian Bale do that?
I think the best would just be, you go over to the guy's house, you knock on the door, and you literally, you say to him, you're like, I can't even fucking do it, but you do it in your best Batman voice. You're like, we're going to have a fucking party, and you're invited.
And if you're not, Alfred's throwing the sickest party right now. You need to get over there and hit the beer bong.
You're channeling Macho Man Randy Savage now.
Now I'm Macho Man. Step into a Slim Jim. Oh, I love that.
Step into a Slim Jim.
Yeah,
Slim Jim. So, party.
So essentially,
Slim
like,
Jims. Here we go.
So the whole thing that's hilarious now is this is unusable because people will literally think we're just, are they even recording show? There's rambling drunks right now. This is no show. There isn't a show at this part of the cast. It's just rambling. Redo.
Restart. No,
it's sweet. It just goes in the file, man. We just stick in the file. And you know what? When people are like, hey, man, we want heavy metal after dark. And I'm like, sweet. Here it is,
oh,
man.
God.
It's pretty gross.
One show that went off the rails 3 hours ago, and you're gonna listen.
No.
How much alcohol does it take? They will find out.
If you
three
say
men, one midget, 14 kilos of cocaine, 2 bottles of Kraken, and 4 virginities later, you fucked up. The best movie of the summer.
That's what that sounds like right there.
That's Portland in a nutshell.
Rated X, the rumpus room.
Rated too tall for midgets.
That would be awesome.
If you're this small, if you're this small, fuck off.
Just
you
go
must
fucking
be 5 die. Feet or higher to ride this ride or watch this movie.
Isn't that what Portal stars say to midgets? No. Kevin's just either laughing, dying, or he's falling. He just doesn't know what's going on. Anyways, if you're coming to Portland, this is what it's going to be like for like 3 days straight. Just it, nonstop
this
bullshit.
This is not even what it's going to be like. Like, this is three of the people.
Yeah,
I'm going to be hardlining Kraken, and that's all I'm going to be doing the whole time. I don't give a fuck. So come on out, see me naked.
My wife is what? A doctor. I have access to all the hypodermic needles that I need.
Hypodermic needles?
Hypodermic.
Wait.
I want access to hypodermic needles. That's what I want.
Hypodermic needles sound amazing. What are those?
Needles with two B.
Hypodermals?
Neebles.
Hypodermic neebles. That's what he said. It wasn't even needles. These are neebles, folks.
Alfred.
You heard it here first.
Alfred.
Hypodermic neebles. This is the newest breakthrough in medical technology.
How am I going to beat the Joker, Alfred? So use the hypodermic needles. Great call. Quick, Robin, grab my hypodermic needle.
Not again, Batman.
You said last time was the last time.
Why do you keep casting gay boys?
Hypodermic.
God. I want a hypodermic needle now.
We have to get Heather on here to verify this.
It's like a Furby. vampire that you control with your iPhone.
Oh my god, did you just say Furby?
Weird.
I had to destroy a Furby one time because in high school I went over to a friend's house and his little sister had a Furby sitting on the fucking kitchen counter while we were all hanging out. And the things that were coming out of this goddamn Furby's mouth, we were just like, well, fuck it, we gotta kill it now. Because this thing was saying just the most absurd shit that you had ever heard. Like, I'm trying to remember, like, I think twat waffle was one of the words that came out of it. So, like, how do you give a fucking 7-year-old girl a fucking Furby that says twat waffle?
The worst thing is I got one of my kids one of those last Christmas, and they left it on in the kitchen, and I came down to get a drink of water at the middle of the night, and I swear to good Lord, all the lights are off, right?
What's talk to you?
No, dude, it's scared.
It'll get angry.
Oh, dude, the worst. I turn around, and its little eyes are glowing, and it says, and it's laughing. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, who said that?
Drum and I skewered his daughter's Furby because of that. Like, it's a whole different story. But, Drum and I, you know, like, Drum's 7-year-old daughter has a Furby, and, you know, she's old enough to not be
a Furby.
But, you know, well, had a Furby.
When she's older, she'll get her Furby again.
Smarter than they should be. Well, no, she won't get it back. Disgusting. Like
she will. Something else. God damn it!
The Furbies grow in around 13, Kevin.
You can't stop this one.
And then nowadays they just start shaving them off. They're like, oh, Furby.
I don't want this fucking thing. It just looks at people. It just looks at people and makes faces.
The noises that come out of this thing.
Gerbil, gerbil, twat waffler.
That's an electronic.
With the spit cracking out.
Twat waffle. I was calling it a twat wobbler.
No, twat waffle.
Twat waffle sounds tasty. I want to try
it. It is pretty good.
God, fish, please.
You know what the best thing is, Kev? Because Kevin yells.
Kevin's been going on in the background this whole time.
His mic just mutes himself because it's like, fuck, I'm not even going to try. And it just lets us keep talking.
It's got a decibel meter on it or something.
Now he's pissed. He's angry. He's like, you fucking
30 cents a bitch. Oh, you did.
All right, well, now to my fucking story with a toy. What's the fucking lemur on Madagascar? He's a fucking...
Who's
the king lemur?
Story like that.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes.
King whatever.
Yeah, King Abaludabu.
Yeah, whatever, that thing. Well, like, I had, my kids had a toy of that fucker, and he said a bunch of stupid shit. Well, once I had him on my nightstand, and I was fucking banging my girlfriend so hard that we knocked the nightstand, and then this thing, out of nowhere, just goes, my body senses nearby. Moving and grooving. Like, fucking the creepiest shit ever.
I like to move and groove.
Yeah, I like to move and move it.
You like to move it.
It was perfect. He was, like, narrating our fucking sex.
Yes! See, that's what I'm talking about. You need to have stuffed animals in the bedroom. Like, next generation stuffed animals. It's creepy if there's a teddy bear there.
Yeah, it's not good unless they can interact with you, fucker.
Yeah, if they're interacting, I like to move it, and they're dancing at the end of your bed and shit like that. Yeah, it's the way to do it.
I agree. After that, like, I mounted it on my wall now.
You know, there's a Teddy Ruxpin somewhere that could really use a home.
Holy shit.
I have a story.
Fucking tape player in the belly.
So, as a joke.
Maddie, before you start this story, no. Can someone just please say the words that need to be said? Is this the episode now that you finally convinced me to try to get the episode to end?
we ended like an hour ago. This is all about you.
Nobody has said anything about San Diego yet.
I'll just cut it in for another episode.
I just cheated.
I'm just kidding.
I get cheated.
Hold on, I have a story. Let me tell you a story. So, okay, Teddy Ruxpin.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego, and you can start your fucking story. Because if our fans don't hear the words, go fuck yourself, San Diego, they're going to be upset.
Really? Do you think there'll be a riot?
I think there'll be a riot. I think people are going to be fucking angry.
Go
and
fuck yourself, San Diego.
I want to hear it in the movie Batman trailer voice.
Yeah, people are going to blame Gumby for it.
In a city of fucking assholes. In the city of lead midgets. In the rumpus room.
In a city.
Fuck yourself, San Diego.
In a city of dark, dense lead things. One less dense than the other, challenges to rise above the rest. Unfortunately, he lives in Go Fuck Yourself, San Diego. The summer of the movie!
No, the summer of the movie?
The summer of the movie? What the fuck? That sounded like some random-ass person. The summer of the movie!
That would be the
best. Summer of the movie!
That would be the best trailer. It's not even a best movie of the summer. It's
the summer of a movie. It's the summer of a movie.
It's just so generic.
The fall of a commercial.
It's so generic that they don't even need to, like, check it. Hey, man, is this a movie and it's summer? Yeah, okay, sweet.
It's the summer of a movie.
Yeah, sweet.
A retarded movie announcer.
Could you imagine if the guy just has a seizure in the middle of it?
And in one man where a thing was filmed.
Summer of a movie.
In a place where a camera was on. Sat one midget with a baby arm. No apple. In the rumpus room. Fucking a banana that looked like a dick that was tasting like liqueur. And that man was Maddie.
Yeah.
The summer of a movie!
Summer of a movie! That's the best right there. I want that on TV. Summer of a movie!
Summer of a movie!
Summer of a movie, everybody.
Oh my god.
Wait. What was the rainbow dash dash thing again?
I don't think we should, the three of us, should be allowed on a podcast together anymore unless we're supervised.
No. Do you know what the three of us absolutely 100% need to do? We need to get drunk and fly in a plane somewhere. We will cause that plane to detour somewhere. Could you imagine?
Hell yeah. Yeah, it's called Guantanamo Bay. That's where it would detour to.
One summer.
Like, these fuckers need to be locked up.
One flight. One destination not reached. They thought
these
they were
motherfuckers.
we thought we were untouchable by Watsy this whole time. We're just all in. And then Watsy ends up sending us on a plane. They're all, okay, well, they're all getting on planes from here, here, and here to meet in GP Portland, and we can't let that happen. And so our... get derouted, and they end up in fucking Gitmo, and then we sit in this shitty-ass cell together, and just to be nice, Watsy throws us, like, M13. They're all here. Here's four packs. Have fun.
Riding high on success, three friends are taken down. Downtown.
Downtown.
Oh,
their,
my God.
Their biggest fear was their smallest adversary.
Did you have the midget walk in? We're like, how's it going, fuckers?
Find out. Plastic gloves on.
the mentally unstable midgets this whole time. Like, everybody's like, oh, Gitmo's got all these fucked up Al-Qaeda prisoners. No, that's just where they're keeping all the fucking carnival riffraff.
In a land of small visits.
No, wait. Small visits? That's small visits.
It's summer of a movie!
GP Portland. Shit's gonna get weird.
That was the whole point. Weren't we doing trailers to GP Portland? That's what's funny.
Yeah, that's the end right there. It's GP Portland.
That's what we've been doing for 45 minutes.
Like, GP Portland's gonna be awesome. I don't care, like, I'm just gonna be walking around doing the fucking movie/Batman voice. Maybe alternating into my gay midget alter ego. You know, just to keep it real, mix it up.
Can we stop Proxy Guy real quick with the heavy metal GB playmat fucking thing and just have him throw Summer of a Movie across the top of it.
Summer of a Movie. And it's just gonna, it should just have like a fucking midget holding a baby arm.
Yes.
On a plane. On a plane. Done. Gotta be on a plane.
Enough of these fucking midgets on this fucking plane. We just gotta have Samuel L. Jackson at the end of that trailer.
Tired of these motherfucking midgets on this motherfucking plane.
I'm actually curious if, like, okay. So,
a man's so angry.
Say we get a Kickstarter, right? All right. Yes. So say we get a Kickstarter going. Okay. Just so that we can pay for Samuel Jackson. We get a Kickstarter going to pay Samuel Jackson enough money to jump on here for 3.5 minutes to say,
"Go
fuck yourself, San Diego." And I'm sick and tired of all these motherfucking midgets on this motherfucking plane.
Wow! If we could,
do you think that the SBU community would feel like they got their money's worth if we could get Samuel Jackson to come on our podcast and say,
"Fucking Samuel Jackson on this cast"? We have to do that. Sorry, guys.
No, we need to get Peter Dinklage on here to do that.
Oh!
How fucking mind-blowing would that be?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, brother.
See, this is the problem. Like, we don't...
Summer of a movie!
That's what we gotta get Peter Dinklage to say, and then we gotta follow that up with fucking Samuel Jackson. I'm tired of all these motherfucking midgets on this motherfucking plane! And then cut. That's your podcast. Done. You're welcome.
People lose their fucking shit.
I would lose my shit.
Oh my God. It costs a lot of money.
Last time, he was on a plane of snakes. This time, it's worse. At every turn,
it's small leaden people with baby arms.
At every turn, the mystery shortens.
They're this. This time they're dense. They have
the
limbs.
The dense plot gets denser.
That'd be the best.
They're dead.
Jesus!
Going.
I
Jackson. To say two lines on our fucking podcast, I think that everybody would feel, like, legitimized. Everybody like, oh, you know what? We had a fucking magic podcast that fucking Sam Jackson came on, and really all it would be is, like, we paid him a bunch of money that we got everybody else to pay for.
You know what?
And we just had him record into his phone something about some midgets on a plane. And then we edit that into our podcast. And we're like, there you go, Samuel L. Jackson, our guest tonight.
all I'll say is this: in my early days, I had we got a video camera. We just run around. We made up this show called Fly Life TV, and we would just hang out at movie premieres and shit.
Oh yeah,
we just would cause shit. I got Dan Aykroyd to just like, I'm like, Dan, can you do an intro for us? He's like, yeah. What's your name of your show? I'm like, it's Fly Life TV, and he just made up this like 3-minute intro. It was insane. And then we had like all these stars that would just do whatever we want. All we need is a fucking camera. Go to the red carpet. Sam, fuck midgets, man. You hate midgets, bitch? I hate fucking midgets, man.
Well, you just getting see on a podcast for a minute is kind of a pain in the ass because they have to schedule their time and do shit. It's not like running into them in the street, but like we might be able to do some shit like that. We might especially be able to do some shit like that in Portland. We might be able to just be able to get a bunch of quotes from fucking people.
Alfred,
like,
there's too many fucking midgets in the cave.
Mm-hmm.
We get the fucking powder and sprinkle them. I don't know what's up.
Get the hypodermic needles now.
Hypodermic needles is the best, dude. I want a glove, and I want to just glue hypodermic needles on the hands. Just like, coming this summer, injecting people everywhere. The hypodermic needle man.
Oh, man.
Neeble.
Hypodermic Neeble man.
He has
injecting all meat sacks under 4 feet tall.
In the ass.
Welcome to
Summer of a Movie! Summer of a Movie! Summer of a Movie needs to get kickstarted right now. Just seriously, no. That's a plan. That's a plan.
Yeah, like, we need to have, like, fucking Sam Jackson. Sam Jackson needs to be talking about midgets on a plane. And right in the middle of it, we need to have, like, Pee Wee Herman himself. Just be all Summer of a Movie!
Oh my god, Summer of a Movie! That would
Summer
be
of a Movie! And everybody's gonna wonder where the Kickstarter money went to. Like, we'll lay it out as, like, you know, we need money for this, we need money for that, we need money for that.
And Jeebus will be like, guys, I'm not paying for this unless you show me your fucking fee forward.
And we need to get like 40 grand out of the fans for, like, you know, like the next year of heavy meta. And then we're like, episode,
could you imagine, Kevin? Sorry, could you? No. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the outrage? I'm dead serious. As the ultimate troll, okay, I think we should do this for episode 100, which you gotta start thinking about. Maybe this isn't such a good idea. That's how it started. Could you imagine? They would be like,
no, we have to have somebody do, if we're gonna do that, we have to have somebody do an app that, like, you have to download the Heavy Meta app. You have to pay 99 cents.
And the penis just... Oh, my God. Can you imagine? You download the Heavy Meta app, and it's just a dip
the waffles.
You
download the Heavy Meta app for $1, and it's just a big picture of my middle finger. And then, like, when you download the app and you open it, it's just a big picture of my middle finger, no matter what you do with it. Like, maybe if you click on it, it'll be like, oh, go fuck yourself, San Diego. And then everybody's like, what the fuck is this app for? And then we announce it. It's, like, for charity.
It's for charity. Going to a San Diego charity. The midgets of San Diego.
Yeah, it's all the homeless people that live in San Diego, they get to sleep on benches in better weather than we sleep in our homes.
A young boy with fatal leukemia is only hope, a podcast, and they raised 15 cents. Summer of a Movie.
Summer of a Movie.
Could you imagine the posters and trailers for the Summer of a Movie, which is random dumbass quotes like this? A boy with fatal leukemia dies. Summer of a Movie.
Summer of a Movie! Teddy, the name of this episode cannot be anything but Summer of a Movie.
Oh, yeah, it has to be Summer. Well, the sad thing is, like, honestly, none of this is usable. Dude, it's all too foul. I'm not shitting you. The entire last hour is so just us screaming at each other. It's not even... The mic levels are through the roof. It's just us screaming and laughing. It doesn't even make sense. We can't use this. But it's awesome. I'll save it for us.
But you can still...
I'll try to cut some of it in, but... Oh man, it is hilarious shit.
I think it's classic. I think it's golden.
It's golden.
It's prime golden material.
It's prime material.
They had a vote 2-1. SummerOfAMovie.com. SummerOfAMovie.com. Is that taken? Hey,
someone, your fucking, like, David, that's what you should do your fucking website as. Like,
SummerOfAMovie.com.
The Maelstrom Games thing should be like SummerOfAMovie.com.
Oh my god. Summer
All
of
I
a
would
movie
get was fucking 4 foot tall hate mail.
Dude, Summer of a Movie is available. SummerOfAMovie.com is the dumbest. This is the stupidest name I've ever heard, but I love it.
You're the one that coined it.
Hey, man. I own that shit, man, right now. Trademark.
Yeah, you got the trademarks to that shit.
This is
but it has to be said in that fucking voice.
Summer of a Movie! Imagine you have, like, a half-retarded guy's head, like, with his lips screaming.
We had all this, like, dumb success over fucking cheeseburgers, right? And people are like, oh, hashtag cheeseburgers. We have dumb success over that. We have hashtag midgets. We have shit like that that just comes out of
nowhere. We own hashtag midgets.
Yeah, it comes out of nowhere, and then all of a sudden it's like, it's a thing. Like, you'd be like, Summer of a Movie, and, like, it'll be a thing. Like, you know, well, not tomorrow, because this episode isn't coming out tomorrow. But, like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all of a sudden, like, it will be a thing. Summer of a Movie, if this Summer part makes it a movie.
I don't know. It's interesting.
And
it's on the bubble.
It's one of those things that, like, these motherfuckers do it. Like, they just take I
will have to listen to this with a sober brain, because to me it just sounds like screaming.
That doesn't sound like fun at all.
I know, right? I know. That's what I'm saying, man.
I am infused with Kraken right now.
I'm serious. Like, this shit
I'm firing on all hypodermic needles.
Hypodermic needles.
Hypodermic needles are firing right now.
No, seriously, like, how much does it take for us to do anything or say anything and all of a sudden becomes a thing?
Hey, you are not wrong.
Like, Portland, for example, I don't want to be like the guy that's like, oh, I did this. But I picked Portland because I had a choice between Portland and L.A., and for some reason I picked Portland instead of L.A., which is way closer to me. And
what
I was like,
what's wrong with you?
I was all, sorry, guys, I can't make fucking Montreal. And I can't make Boston, so I was like, you know, Portland's a good idea. Like, I was looking at the GP schedule. I was like, let's do Portland. And it started off there. And then it became, like, Marcel's all, oh, Portland's cool, because that's, like, halfway between, you know, like, or that I'm halfway between you and Portland. Yeah, I'm going to make Portland, too. And then we started pushing it. And now Portland has become this thing that is, like, fucking, Maddie, you're going, fucking TSG's going, fucking KYT's gonna be there.
Did you just call him TS Cheese?
TS Cheese is gonna be there?
He sounds like a McDonald's, a failed, like, McDonald's mascot.
Shit, like Grimace, like a...
Filet-O-Fish had an issue with Grimace. we'll have some fun shit, though, man. We got Werewolf. Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Okay, sorry. Imagine Werewolf. I honestly don't think we're gonna get a game in. Because the game will devolve into this. Are you a werewolf? Fuck you, suburb of a movie. This is gonna be so stupid.
Judge.
I'm gonna knock this fucking jug right out, guys. Watch this. Holy shit.
I'm gonna take this jug and I'm gonna stick a hypodermic needle in him. And that's gonna be the end of that motherfucker.
One man and his hatred for jugs.
I don't everything you just said, I don't understand why you guys don't have any faith in me.
Dude, we're scared that you are gonna kill someone there. That's the real thing. We're trying to make light of this so you don't actually do this.
I am excited.
It's
secretly, and I enjoyed it.
And then I'll be all, hey, Summer of Magic movies.
Summer of the Magic movie. Oh my God, imagine if that's the magic movie. It's like,
oh my God, it needs to happen. We need to petition that. Summer of the Magic movie!
Could you imagine, like, in the deepest realms of the universe, Jace, the mind sculptor, battles Sandra this summer in... And it's Garrick. It's a retarded Garrick.
It's Garrick.
It's from the Goonies.
He's got a dented helmet.
And he's the guy from the Goonies. Baby Roof.
Hey, you guys.
But he's Garrick. Hey, I'm Johnny. I like kitty cats. Meow, meow. Can I touch your hair? Get the fuck away from me. You're
dumb. Again has magic.
I can make a beast. Watch this. Oh my god, he did it in his pants, Jace. Can you unsummon that for him?
Hold on, I'll kill
target planeswalker. No, Garrick, you're gonna kill yourself.
I can't, I'm already dead.
Oh my god, we have devolved into retardation.
That would be the best. I can kill a, I can make a beast. Watch this. He just bends over. He's like, that would just see Chandra can someone light a match? And Chandra's like, yeah, no problem. Oh my god, Lily, can you exile that for him? Oh Jesus, that would be the best. I love how he pets a Johnny. Nice kitty.
Nice kitty.
You nice kitty, warm kitty.
Little ball of fur.
I just want to be coming this summer.
Oh my god, this podcast is going to be like an hour long, and then the after part is just going to be like 30 minutes of edited, just us laughing hysterically, and nobody's going to know why. It's going to be like, what? And then at the end, it's going to be all of us going, summer!
That's the new thing. We don't say, fuck you, San Diego. It's just,
summer!
Summer! We go. That'll be awesome because it's like, hey man, what have you done? Well, I saw this movie, and it's every time. No! How do we get into the trailer voice? That's as quickly as we can, right? Hey, hey, Mark Rosewater, it's been really great having you on. I hear you have this movie coming out this summer.
Thanks,
guys. I really like it.
One game. Nope. 2 billion nerds. No sex. 300-pound breasts on men. Two men with a podcast, but too lazy to fucking edit. Figured they're just going to talk over each other and use it as a benefit.
Yeah, that
works. Your podcast sounds too slow because you wait for people. Unfiltered. Put into a hypodermic needle. And shoved into a baby arm. Attached to a lead midget. Fed to somebody in the rumpus room. You fucking idiots.
Still on the movie!
That's it. Cut. We're done.
Yes! Boom! That is the outline! Right there! Now,
no, then the bonus scene is just Garrick walking away from a big steaming pile like,
I thought it was...
I made a beast! Oh my god! That thing is death touch!
I made a poop and it's death touch!
You just see Jace like, yo, stand back. Just don't go near it.
I made a black wolf and it's got death touch.
You just see like Koth just walking in like, yo man, this shit ain't cool.
That would be so good.
Fucking stink.
Like, yeah, well, you know, whatever. I just fucking, hey, I made a wolf and it's death touch.